association with whoone.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 166. What I did without choice, in the name of peace and sanity. I'm Adam, and here's Robert.
We're unarmed. Don't divulge our military strategy.
Here's Kirby.
I am not an animal. I am a human being.
Are you sure? Here's Mary.
Yowza.
And where's Reese?
I think I must have gotten that from something else.
Elephant man.
You think?
Right then, this week's episode of the 20 Megabyte Podcast is dedicated to Jeff Waddell, who some people have upset. So Jeff, we all love it, don't we? We love Jeff, everybody, don't we?
Oh,
we don't mind if he doesn't like this current series of Doctor Who. That's up to him, as long as he likes it.
He's behind major conversations we're having on the Facebook page, so I love it.
Yeah, and also, as long as he likes the podcast, that's far more important than liking Doctor Who. So, go, Jeff.
No, it'd be boring if everybody had the same opinion.
Yeah, what's the point in doing a podcast if everybody had the same opinion?
Exactly. And Adam, you say this is a democratic podcast and Facebook page.
No.
Support that.
No, we have a democratic way of looking at things. It's definitely not a democratic podcast because I am in charge.
Okay.
I just wonder if Jeff is watching the same show the rest of us are.
Well, I mean, not everybody. I mean, Ben obviously liked the last episode, which is astounding. Well, he said he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Considering it's written by Stephen Moffat. And he didn't just say it's all right. He liked it. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Jeff didn't. Some other people haven't. Some other people have. So, Jeff, don't take it at heart. I agree with you saying that people, you know, are getting on your back about it. You know, you're perfectly entitled to your opinion, and hope you, you continue to listen to the show even if you stop watching Doctor Who. Which, of course, you won't, because you've got lots of old Doctor Who which you like anyway. So, can't go wrong, can you?
Yeah.
Performing some sort of paradox myself actually at the moment, because I'm drinking Pepsi out of a Coca-Cola glass.
That's got to be illegal.
Well, at least you picked the right drink.
Is this more sponsorship, is it?
Very funny. Okay.
Hey, mine is Big K from Kroger, so.
Yeah.
Right.
So we noticed.
So, is everybody queued up, ready? Because we're going to do this as a commentary again, listeners, because certain people do not have time to write notes all of the time, although I've got to get back into the swing of doing that soon when we go back to looking at the earlier Matt Smith episodes. So, are we all ready? We'll wait for Reese to turn up. He'll have to just jump in and try and catch up somehow. We'll work out how later on, if indeed he does come along.
The swimming pool is waiting for him.
So, are we ready then?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, play! So, we apparently start this with a couple of engineers, I suppose they would be, or mechanics, TARDIS mechanics
because it's the repair room, isn't it?
It is. And that looks really sort of modern. And then they look on their monitor, and I see a fantastic shot of some very 1960s looking scenery, which we would never have seen in the 1960s, I don't think, of little TARDIS bays. Or well, I suppose you might have seen it in War Games, maybe. I don't know. But,
Can't remember.
It's a long shot of...
And then
what?
Now that we see Susan entering the TARDIS with the Doctor,
that
was wonderful.
And also confirms the fact that she's been with him all along. But we knew that because they said that in An Earthly Child.
Yeah.
They've been together all along. But it was beautiful. Obviously, we know as Doctor Who fans that those shots were taken from the Aztecs. But hey, I don't care because, you know, if somebody's looking at somebody, they might look the same in one position as they do in a completely different one. Like you get a deja vu thing, don't you?
So can I mention something, though?
Yeah.
You know the Star Trek... Deep Space Nine episode Trials and Tribulations.
Yes.
You know how they they interspersed the original Star Trek episode Tribbles, the one job.
Yes,
I think they did a better job in that than they did in this. Don't you think?
But
I know they're obviously working.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
This was brilliant.
It doesn't matter. Robert, you rather glossed over the half a second appearance of the Eighth Doctor sort of walking past Clara.
I know. I did post it on
Yes, I saw that.
Facebook. Yes, thank you for that, Robert. Yeah, but it is obviously when you see it and watch it back, you can. There's other things you can watch and see.
Yes.
When you've watched it a second or third time by pausing, rewinding, or going a bit slowly or whatever. And that was one of the things that you could clearly see it was supposed to be him. So anyhow, able to catch our breath with the title sequence. So that opening, sort of a real sort of pre-taster for what was to come in the episode. And then we're...
You know, that opening was online before the episode had finished screening. On British television.
Yeah. I suppose if I had time to do that, I could have quickly burned off something and uploaded it, but I was much more interested in actually watching Doctor Who than faffing around trying to get little clips from the episode.
My geek daughter would not allow me to even look at that at all. At that time, she wanted me to she said, don't you dare bring that up. We wait.
You didn't. Good boy. Anyway, Vastra's visiting... Vastra visits a murderer, a mass murderer, in fact. He's a bit contaminated by the Whispermen.
Who at first, to me, looked like Richard Grant. So I thought, ooh, this is going to be... But then
you know who he reminded me of?
He doesn't look a bit like him.
Gollum. Now the funny thing is, I said this. I obviously during this show, you won't hear it now because I've got to splice it in later on. I've got the audio that I recorded of us while we were watching the episode and the comments that we made while watching the episode, which I'll drop in to this particular recording because it's quite interesting, although it's quite poor quality because it's recorded on a dictaphone. But yeah, and that was one of the comments I made, I think, at the time that he reminded me of Gollum. So anyway, Jenny and Vastra. They arrange for this man to be spared execution because he has some information on the Doctor, something about his secret and stuff like that.
And I hope at some later point we find out who this guy is and how he managed to get that information. Because he's a mass murderer.
I don't think that matters, really. I don't think we will, and I don't think it matters. Then we're in Scotland, and Scratch is having a bit of a rough and tumble with
a fun time.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really a Highland, it's a Glasgow, so that'd be in the middle of a city, a Glasgow massive bloke. It's a great scene, and it's always a good comedy scene with Shrax anyway, where they sort of, they're in the middle of having a fight, and he apologises to him, he says, oh, that's alright.
That guy reminded me of the guy that Indiana Jones has to fight with around the airplane.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Right, hang on. Backup recording needed. Bear with me.
Wasn't that guy a production assistant, too?
Which guy?
I don't know.
Jones?
Which guy?
Yeah.
Right, sorry, I'm just doing a backup recording because my timeline's gone a bit funny. Don't quite understand why. I know, because it's had an update.
Don't jump into your timeline.
You're funny. Oh!
Oh, bugger.
Stupid blooming thing, right? Sorry, it's just typical.
Moving your chair, Adam.
I'm not moving my chair. I'm moving me back up microphone.
The chairs are moving on the show, or actually, we're moving around the chairs.
Anyway, back to the episode. Oh, God, it's annoying because I can edit my bit out, but I can't edit your bit out. So, because this is a commentary, so I was going to be really tricky that bit because Robert swore. And I dropped my backup microphone, and also the main timeline is about 10 seconds behind where it should be at the moment. So
get on with it.
Yeah, so they're sat around this table. Looks a bit like a TARDIS console.
She's updated the desktop.
That too.
I thought that was
Yeah. And I like her pouring the tea from memory.
Yeah. I quite like the scene when Clara's mixing up the souffle and... she gets the delivery of the letter from Vastra, as she's reading it, the candle drops out. She drops it as if it's like a slug or something revolting. But it's
let me jump in and say that is not a candle. That is a sealing wax bar.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's been dosed
with some sort of narcotic. But the envelope was very cleverly done, although it didn't look that old, did it? I know they coloured it up a bit. It did look a bit... I know it's been in an envelope for over 100 years, but it didn't look as old as it could have done. But don't matter.
It's artistically aged.
I was a bit worried for her, actually, because when she reads the letter and then collapses, she is quite near the top of the stairs. I thought, oh, God. And obviously, next thing you see, her face going down on the table in the conference call thing. But I did like that, the whole way that built up to the scene where she faints, and it was really, really cleverly done. So they're all together, but he'd obviously...
there's redesign.
Oh, about time too.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't stop it, I'm afraid. So I'm just have to... Well, you carry on talking while I get Reese on. And we'll have to tell him the time and thing and see if he can catch up.
Well, I didn't notice her near the top of the stairs. It looks like she's in a room when she...
She is, I know, but I was thinking, well, she could stagger and fall down. And then River turns up.
Down the stairs.
And I love when River's tea turns to champagne.
Can I ask something? How does River get involved? How did Vastra and all that...
Because it's a psychic thing, and she's still alive in the library computer, so she's still psychically, you know... Her mind exists, and that's the mind that's there.
Yeah, she's accessible through the library.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's why she's able to change it to
champagne.
Ultimately,
for the purposes of the plot, she's the only one that knows the doctor's name. So she's got to be there.
Yeah, and it has to be at this stage in her life.
I still don't know how.
Hello, Reese.
Hello.
And would you like to do your introduction quote?
Get here in time.
I know. Would you like to do your introduction quote?
Oh, yes, I would.
Go on then, quickly.
Give me a second.
Give me a second, that wasn't it.
At the time of magic, the destiny of a great... Oh, sorry, wrong show.
Anyway, thank you, Reese. Anyway, I forgot to mention that... Well, by the way, Reese, we're watching it as we go, and we're currently coming up to 9 minutes, so if you wanted to try and... catch up what we are.
Could
actually...
Could I just say my other introduction one?
Yeah,
if I was here on time and you introduced yourself, I would have said, have you got a darker shade of green?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, very good. So I also forgot to mention that Strax calls River the one with the massive head. I'm sure that's quite funny.
Hair Strax.
Yeah. And
it's interesting how Clara calls that hair space hair.
And also that the scene when brilliantly acted, brilliantly written, etc. When you know something's going on with Jenny, and then the way she says so spookily and creepily, I think, sorry, I'm so sorry, I think I've been murdered. Brilliant.
Yeah,
that's another one of Moffat's great shocks, like in Silence in the Library when the Doctor says, why are there seven of us in the room and there were six or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just another of those ooh moments.
Yes, indeed. But in this one, you knew something was going on because they did do a quick cut back to her actually there and the Whisper Men sort of around her.
See the Whisper Men.
Yes. Did anyone find the Whisper Men particularly scary? Because I didn't.
Yeah.
My 19-year-old
Isabella went to bed. She couldn't face it. She couldn't face it. Although I did advise her the next morning she should have watched it to the end, and then she would have understood it a bit better. And that's what Deb agreed. She shouldn't just disappear. In fact, on the audio that you will hear later on, you'll hear Isabella leaving, deciding she can't take it anymore.
We had to pause and rewind several times because of
rewind?
My 19-year-old
video.
The term still applies because my 19-year-old kept going with Whisper Men were being shown, and so we couldn't hear what was going on.
You know, I thought they were, and it's on this audio. I thought they were like something to do with the trickster because they had that. Sort of trickster look.
Yeah, that's what they brought to mind.
Well, I think the trickster's head is upside down. Yeah, it could be. That's true. But they weren't, obviously. Well, they didn't mention that anyway. Strax.
I thought they were effective, but again, kind of underused.
Yeah.
Towards the end, they just became another monster in the background.
Right.
Yeah, precisely.
They're like
the
guys from the Rings of Akaten. They looked really good. And they were pretty spooky, but they're underused.
Yeah. But they're a sort of typical modern age Doctor Who sort of scary thing like the silence, or, you know, they don't say much, they just stand there opening their mouths and hissing, and, you know, what they do say is sort of slightly sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of riddly.
Yeah, I was going to say, they always rhyme.
Mm. Anyway, then we catch a brilliant scene with the Doctor who's been outsmarted by a couple of kids. By a tea towel around his head.
the delivery of the line, all those Daleks.
Daleks.
Somebody mentioned on Facebook, actually, in the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, listeners, that the kids in this actually weren't anywhere near as bad as they were in the previous episode. They're actually a bit more natural and a bit more believable.
Well, and they were hardly in it,
but
too.
But we hardly see them.
That made it much
they're
more...
They're just in that one little scene with Clara.
Much more acceptable.
My point was, the girl made me laugh when she said, what, was your gran high on puddings or something like that?
Yeah.
But whereas, compared to the Neil Gaiman's episode, I thought that was just a bit flat from them all, but she actually made me laugh with her delivery of the lines.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, from that scene of great hilarity, completely turned over, you got a few seconds later the Doctor crying.
Oh, my.
When he realises.
So well done.
Yeah. And the expression on Clara's face when she sees the Doctor crying, you know, she doesn't like that. What's this about Jenna Louise Coleman not being able to act?
I don't know. I never.
No, you didn't.
That.
I just don't see it. I cannot see what people have got. I know people don't like her because my in-laws have decided not to watch Doctor Who anymore because they find it really irritating and over the top, I suppose. And they actually said that they will not watch Doctor Who anymore. They've been watching it since it came back. They hate it now. They can't watch it. And I can accept
this.
It may
be just the character. It may be just
the character. Yeah, I know. But they hate the character so much, they will not watch Doctor Who anymore because they find her so irritating. She's like, you know, that's their opinion. They're not Doctor Who fans. They just don't like the show anymore. It's gone down a route that they don't like. Which is fine. You know, that's understandable. Some people who didn't like Doctor Who might quite like it now.
That, though, as well.
No, I like River.
River can be a bit like that. I mean, sometimes she can be a bit annoying with, hello, sweetie, and,
it's all right.
Get on your nerves.
Acceptable.
That's who she is.
Yes. But anyway, but again, that's your point, though, isn't it? You find that a bit irritating, Robert, so I don't mind it. You do. It's just like we said about, we've got to mention, you weren't here when I've dedicated this episode of the podcast to Jeff Waddell, by the way, Reese, because he's feeling a bit unloved at the moment.
Well, we love River despite her irritating moments because we've seen her go through a lot of different emotions. So we've come to know her. I think that the Clara character hasn't been given a lot of depth yet.
Oh,
you know, all we see is that quick speaking surface, you know, quick mind and all that. So we really haven't seen her, you know, go deep. The character hasn't been allowed to show her other side. So I think the more we know her,
the times that she's had emotion are things like when she's worried about seeing the two dead crewmen in Cold War, and in Hyde when she's realised that she's seen the entire flow of the Earth's history and even future. Yeah. And she's just kind of crying about that, but it's just ignored. She's just kind of pushed aside in a way.
Yeah,
because most of the time she is this quick response, very clever girl, and we don't know her very well yet.
Anyway, meanwhile, back to the episode. Clara's trying to get out of the Doctor what Trenzlore is and what the tomb and everything like that. Doctor flicks the big switch, and the TARDIS doesn't like the idea of going there, which I quite liked as far as the story goes. And I thought that it might
trying
do this.
Can we just pay mention to the fact that, thanks to Kirby, I know this because he posted the behind the scenes video. That scene where she's asking him what Trenzalore is the last scene they filmed with this season.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Under the TARDIS.
Uh huh.
Wouldn't you love to go swinging? The guy swinging on the TARDIS like that.
Yeah, that was quite a good scene.
I was a bit worried seeing how it was wobbling. hanging on it.
Well, actually, that was something Matt Smith said behind the scenes. He was told, "Don't swing on the on the thing," and he said, "I won't." And then he swings on it.
And then he does. Yeah.
So anyway, they arrive on a planet that looks like it's a bit hot to land on.
Lovely planet.
Looks like from space that there's lots of lava everywhere, and you think, "Oh, you don't want to go down there. It looks like you're going to get burnt." Right. Nevertheless, he switches the anti-grav off and the TARDIS plummets. Now, people would say, how can the TARDIS plummet and they're going to be all right? Well, they're inside the TARDIS when it happens, and obviously it's indestructible.
And the TARDIS is a box that's bigger on the inside than the outside.
Yes, indeed. But anyway, that's fine.
There are lots of unlikely things.
Yeah, I know. It did plummet on this occasion. It was very well done. I didn't have a problem with the way that happened.
I keep looking for an opportunity to use that line, and it's always Kirby who does. Well done, man.
And I did like the way it glowed as it landed. And also, he made a point of pointing that the bit of the window that was smashed, because that is actually in the huge TARDIS tomb as well, which implies...
I wonder if that happened in the story, or if it happened when they moved the TARDIS to that location, or in the studio.
It's there, because obviously that crack won't be in the TARDIS forever, because obviously as Doctor Who goes on, they'll have new TARDISes. Obviously that's a TARDIS from the future. Never mind. I'm thinking that they can explain it away, the fact that because the TARDIS had landed on the planet, it mimicked its own, you know, there'll be like a mimicking going on.
That's what I think.
Yeah. So anyway, pretty interesting graveyard scene. Reminded me a little bit of Back to the Future 2. Or was it Back to the Future 3?
I like where the gravestones are, the size of the gravestones depending on the rank.
Yeah.
The biggest gravestone
is the TARDIS.
Yeah, but it didn't actually start out that big, though, did it? He's saying it's been growing and growing. So
she said.
Welcome,
Reese. That's
what I'm here for. Yes, we didn't have any innuendo whatsoever until about 8 minutes
innuendo
ago.
Innuendo free till now.
Yeah.
It's my job.
No, it isn't. Right, yes.
You're right, I did get paid for it.
So then River appears, because she's still mentally linked via the conference call to Clara. Now, the fact, obviously, later on we find out that the Doctor's able to hear River all along makes these scenes quite interesting. You do get the feeling that he's deliberately avoiding. If you look at it when he's talking to Clara, he's looking at Clara. You get that feeling he's deliberately not looking at River.
I'd find it hard not to look at somebody standing there talking right next to me. I'd want to look at them to hear what they're saying.
Anyway, so. Also,
you listen with your eyes, okay.
Yeah. Also, I thought it was quite interesting that River must know who Clara is, but there was no, like she normally does. Oh, just like with Amy, she'd sort of make some sort of comments about Amy.
I like that, actually, to be honest.
This time she acted as she'd never seen Clara before, or met her, or knew who she was.
Yeah. It reminded me a little bit of... Martha and Donna's meeting. It wasn't anything big. It was just, oh, hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. It was nice and quiet.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing I liked about this thing that was the fact that quite clear that the Doctor did love River and she was his wife. And they'd have, obviously, because there's a big gap between when Amy and Rory died, left, whatever, and when the Doctor ends up in Victorian London, where he was with River, because she left with him. She left New York with him, so they must have had some adventures together. And of course the little adventures we see in the extras on the DVD box set of series 6, is it? No? Okay.
I think so.
Anyway, back to the episode. Vastra, dead Jenny and Strax have appeared but landed in the TARDIS, dying TARDIS, the tomb TARDIS, sorry. Don't know how they got there.
I was going to say, what's the explanation for them showing up there? If there was one, I missed it.
Oh, did Strax use some sort of traveller? Do you reckon?
Yeah, the Whisper Men brought them there.
But why?
Because they wanted to. Because they thought if the Doctor had his friends there and they could threaten them, that, you know, they'd be used as tools to get the Doctor to do it.
Oh, yes, of course, that makes sense.
Okay.
Which is say his name and open the door.
Good point.
And I like how the Great Intelligence refers to Jenny as your pet.
Yes.
Yeah.
One each. Also, I know I did get initially confused while watching this, as how, because obviously the Doctor and Clara are taking a sort of shortcut route through the catacombs, and suddenly they're outside.
There should have been
where they are, but they're not outside.
There should have been a third. There should have been a third group of people finding their way to the top of a mountain and then sliding
five
down
doctors.
A wire.
Like in Five Doctors, you mean?
Yes.
But no, this, I was saying, I was confused at the time. Suddenly, they were in the TARDIS through the catacombs, and then they were outside or where they are now. But obviously, because they'd taken a shortcut, they weren't actually inside the TARDIS.
Yeah, they went down through that grave, and they're making their way to the TARDIS, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, but initially, I was a bit confused by this.
So was I a little bit, actually, to be honest.
So... As they get nearer and nearer the TARDIS, Clara starts remembering what she'd forgotten in regards to the facts about the Doctor. And also, there's a great scene where River's talking to her and a Whisper Man walks through River.
Right through her, That was a great scene. Yeah.
That was another screech from Louisa.
Oh, dear. So as I say, I did jump back and forward a bit there a bit because it is a timey-wimey type thing.
Wobbly.
Yeah. So, anyway, so Clara knows the Doctor's name again by the time we get to the end of this episode, because obviously she would have remembered everything. River says
that...
She
knows his name is Please. Oh, sorry, no, that's
yes.
what I
meant. River obviously says the Doctor's name at some point to open up the TARDIS.
But I still don't know how she knows his name, though, because he didn't whisper it to her in Let's...
It's an unseen story.
He told her at some other time, and she admits it.
But this is her from the library in the Matrix. Does he get her out again to tell her?
No, this is...
So to speak.
No.
No, she already knew his name before she went into the library. So this is actually...
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And we said goodbye to her in those extra scenes.
What do you mean? Sorry, you've lost me now.
What extra scenes?
The extra scenes that you mentioned on the DVD.
No. This is after she has died. She's actually in the library's computer. She's in Cal.
Yeah.
So her mind is in there. So she's only there as a
device?
No! Right! Yeah. No, she's only there in the people's minds that can see her. She's not physically there. So it's just a mental projection from the library.
Move on with it.
And she married the Doctor before she died
library. This is after she died in the library.
We just haven't seen when she found out his name.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. Yes, thank you. So she knew the name before she entered the library. This is her after she died in the chair with the 10th Doctor.
Right.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So we're not going to see it. She just happens to know it.
Correct.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Can somebody ask me something here in this scene?
Maybe.
When this is all stuff that she's been through, right?
Yes. Flashback.
So why is she acting funny about it?
Because she's remembering it and she'd forgotten it.
Yeah.
Right.
How come she forgot it, though?
Did you not watch...
Something that happened through...
Did you not watch Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS when... when it was reset, Clara forgot everything.
Yes.
He told her she would forget everything. Mm-hmm. Robert!
Adam!
Anyway, like I say, this is the point in which they turn up, Clara and the Doctor. Simeon is... Uh-oh.
Captain Kirk.
Text message. Alistair Pearson, apart from the scarves, I'm not remotely interested in cosplay, bunch of saddos, but I've got a hold of a type of
thanks, Ben.
DT. This isn't Ben, it's Alistair Pearson. I've got to see what he says here. Right. Unless you sent it to the wrong person. Apart from scarves, I'm not interested in cosplay, bunch of saddos, but I've got a hold of the type of DT is wearing in the 50th anniversary story. I have to say, it's really nice.
David Tennant.
Oh, he knows what David Tennant's wearing in the 50th anniversary story. There we go.
Clothes?
He's wearing what?
Tie.
Yeah. From what we could see, he's wearing
clothes.
Yeah, he's wearing his usual outfit, the brown striped.
Yeah.
Apparently he's got a tie that's very nice.
John Hurt is wearing something quite...
Anyway, can we go back to this episode?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Doctor's point-blank refusing to give out his name, and they're closing in on him. I like the way Strax sort of attacks one of the Whisper Men, but nothing happens to him. His middle...
Yeah.
His shut up, Magic! His middle disappears, and then reappears again. And then... Will you shut up? Thank you.
Sorry.
So anyway, they're going to stop everybody's hearts, and that was quite nasty, actually, I thought that. They were doing that.
That was one good use of the Whisper Men.
Yes, yeah, indeed. But of course, the door opens because
Strax's commentary throughout.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's
I'm
good.
Yeah.
I've got them where I want them.
I've got them on the road.
So anyway, River opens the door up, and everybody's saved because poor old Jenny's had a really bad day up to this point.
Yet he only hugged Clara.
I didn't even hear the please part. We weren't quite sure what Doc said right there. We had to rewind it several times.
You thought they bleeped it out.
I still didn't hear.
Yeah.
Well, like always, I had the closed captions on, so I saw it more than heard it.
Okay. I've got closed captions on now, actually, funny enough.
I've got on.
And that's a brilliant little scene, actually. I've got to mention that Clara, when she sort of gets up, the Doctor goes to her, and she said, "That wasn't nice." She goes, "I'm so sorry." That was really good.
That wasn't nice.
I'm sorry. So sorry.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's later on in the story.
It's later on in the story.
Yeah.
It's quite effective. I don't think we'll see Simeon again, unfortunately, but I do like the look of him. Yeah. He does look very sinister and. Yes, it's quite. It's a shame that we're
permanently irritated at everything.
Yes,
I've heard that he looks like his character in *Scream of the Shulker*. Is that true?
Well, it would do. I would imagine so because they did base the drawing on him, didn't they? So, on Richardy.
Yes. Richardy.
He is the Doctor.
Yeah. You know, when they first entered this sort of overgrown sort of thing, I thought it was...
TARDIS.
No, they enter it, it's all these plants. It reminded me of the cloister room, and I thought that we were going to see the cloister bell.
Yeah.
But of course, you walk in there, and there's this beautifully rendered, spirally, random thing, which is really, really, really nice.
Will we never see the control room change again? Because it when it dies...
I know,
that's a fair point.
That's what Adam said, it's mimicking...
Yeah, it's mimicking the TARDIS that's already landed, but also we know full well that it does back up versions of control rooms, so that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it could be just using another control room or back control room.
Like that desktop, didn't it?
Yeah. So elsewhere there might be the current or the one the Doctor last used before he snuffed it.
Yeah, but if this is the one that they bury him in, then he must have the same TARDIS from now until the end.
Well, it is the same TARDIS. It's always the same TARDIS. It's just it redesigns itself.
Yeah.
Or rebuilds itself.
What were you expecting? A body? Bodies are boring.
Yeah.
Of course, the Doctor.
I love that effect, though.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm. The Doctor has to do a commentary on what it is, just to tell Simeon or give him the idea of going into it.
Yeah.
Now, if he kept his gob shut.
Shut up.
I thought Simeon knew all along, and that's why he wanted to go in there.
Yeah.
It's the reverse of the old James Bond thing. The evil villain tells you the plan, so you know what to do to stop them.
And then the Doctor does a fifth Doctor and the five Doctors and collapses, and I'm surprised he didn't say that parts of me have been ripped.
There's the fall of the 11th at Trenzalore.
Ah! Of course! Yeah. Hey! Okay. Well done, Robert. He did fall.
Tying up a long plot string here.
Oh, that's great stuff. Well done. So anyway, so Simeon... it looks quite effective when he's standing with the thing behind him, just before he steps in and alters everything.
But I think about the Whisper Men, they all look quite effective, just with the top hats and the identical clothes. So I think they all just look fantastic.
Oh, they do. I mean, it's just a simple, very simple monster. They don't do much now. They just look fierce, which is a bit like Magic does when he's on the podcast.
Well, they're on the standby to look like Richard.
You can all see him.
Yeah.
Mm. But, right, now this whole thing.
When Richard E. Grant.
Geronimo!
Can I apologize on behalf of Robert for interrupting you there, Kirby?
When he pulled off his face and got replaced by Whisperman,
that's what she said.
Man, we had an extra Whisperman appear. So there were always four.
Yeah. But also, that scene, because we missed that bit, where his face, he rips off, and you can see it growing older. No, you were talking over it. And then we see a lovely little montage of Simeon with all the other doctors, which is, and obviously the 11th Doctor as well. And then we see a little montage, a bit like the five doctors, with the faces are flying around the thing.
Die, Doctor, a bit like, die!
They would have done in that. So, but this scene, obviously, this is what we thought of. Well, there was a few theories about Clara, who she was, what she was, and I said she was a complicated space-time event, which indeed she is, or did prove to be, and the fact we thought she might have been split into many parts because of the similarities. But not a million, though. We didn't say a million.
Clara,
yeah, like I said, I did say I thought along, didn't I? This is the original one, and it's this one that gets split up. So we were on the right lines. Didn't say a million, or 2 million, or whatever it was, River said. I think it was a million, wasn't it? A million Claras?
Million.
Yeah, millions. Oh, okay. But this completely
River
was acceptable as far as how we built up to the explanation as to who or what Clara was.
She was the Jaggeroth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We thought it had some sort of connection. Yeah. There'd be a similar thing as this being a Jaggeroth type thing, but it wasn't just seven, it was millions. But that's okay. That's fine. Because some of the millions of Claras in existence then would never have met the Doctor.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
But mind you, that is his time stream, though, so
it
would be in his time
stream.
So
they all should have.
Should have what?
Because met they're him. His time streams, yeah.
Mm. Well, they'd have the chance to meet him.
See what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough.
And do you notice we only see up to 11 Doctors?
Yeah,
or
we will do.
Clara only sees up to them.
No, we see another one. So, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Jenny then disappears very mysteriously and very cleverly done, because in the minute she's talking to her, and then it's seemingly in the same shot, she just completely disappears, and then Strax gets evaporated.
I love the way Strax turns. That was pretty evil, yeah.
Yeah, and also the spare, because obviously she kills him, and then the spare in her voice when she realises he's dead and gone and... It's awful.
Yeah.
The Doctor...
Keith McIntosh is wonderful.
Hey, oh, yeah, she
this is.
This
is a bit Fifth Doctor's too, isn't it? Except for it's not Perry leaning over him. It's...
Yeah, and also you can't see any cleavage, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So,
is
yeah.
Is there any other thing?
This is great. So, basically, River says... Clara realises what she's got to do. River says you mustn't in a sort of unenthusiastic way, because she knows she has to.
Right.
Which is quite interesting. And...
Yeah, I was thinking that River was going. I'm obligated to tell you not to, but
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And also the clever thing about this is that even though this is a last goodbye for us and River, it's not necessarily the last time we see her.
Yeah,
it probably will be, but isn't necessarily.
Well, Alex Kingston said she'd like to come back whenever Stephen Moffat writes a story with her in it. So
yeah.
There'll be a time.
I hope so, because it'd be a shame if she's not in the 50th anniversary special as well. I don't think there's been any mention of her, but it would be a shame.
But she is getting older, and I will confess it was a little creepy watching a 20-something-year-old kissing a 50-something-year-old.
He's 30 now. It's fine.
Old man in a young man's body.
Yeah,
just good acting.
Yuck, man.
Yeah.
But that's the first time the Doctor's kissed someone, and I thought, that's all right, because it's River, and it's his wife, and he loves her.
Yeah.
So that's the first time that there's been a kiss between the Doctor, or a passionate kiss that he's wanted to do.
Run.
Yeah, because there's the first time he kisses River, that time, I don't know which episode it was now, when she says you... She realises it's the first time she's kissed him because he's really awkward about it.
Was that Day of the Moon?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So really, really good.
I think that Robert watched a Vaudevillian version of this.
Sorry?
Night of the Sun.
I think Robert watched a Vaudevillian version of this. He's going over the top when he reenacts the lines.
Yeah. And of course, this is where the Moffats put these little bits in so people can stop their DVDs and Blu-rays just to sort of to see which bits are which. And I do love the excellent scene.
That's the point where we saw the 10th Doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I love this bit. I love this bit before he disappears off the screen when she directs him to the TARDIS that he took. Sorry, carry on.
I've got a problem with that one.
He's got a problem with it.
That's what I'm going to say.
Go on then.
My problem with it is it contradicts what the TARDIS says in the Doctor's wife. She left her doors open so that he'd go in there and steal her. But you know, it's the other way around. She stole him.
Yes, but also you've got to bear in mind, by this stage, Clara has a link to the TARDIS, and Clara was basically the TARDIS talking to him to take that one.
Right. Yeah, but that's in the past already, though.
What? Yeah,
that we were seeing in the past.
We're seeing in the past. So Clara's from the future. She has a bond with the TARDIS. That's why the TARDIS didn't like her initially, because of the paradox. But now everything's carried through.
But there's more than two Doctors.
Yeah, but Clara, through the TARDIS, has literally told the Doctor to take that TARDIS.
Exactly.
Clara said, you'll have more fun.
And I love how we saw the TARDIS as a cylinder going through space-time.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent.
Now, I was doing a lot of freeze-framing through this because I was so caught by her outfits throughout these different things.
Yeah.
Because many of them suggest previous companions.
Yeah.
What caught me was like the leather jacket and the hair up when she was yelling out to the Seventh Doctor. So I was backing up and looking, and she does look, you know, Sarah Jane Smith-ish. She looks Joe Grant-ish.
Yeah.
She even in that one scene with the Fourth Doctor running away, she shows up in an outfit that does not suggest, you know, Leela exactly, but it has almost a warrior look to it. So I'm thinking, ooh, how cool that they thought through all these. But the one outfit that I'm wondering about is when she tells him to steal the TARDIS, that looked kind of like a Marco Polo-ish outfit. But then I also wondered, well, maybe it's Gallifreyan. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course I'm
a woman. I noticed the clothes.
The scene where the Doctor and River kiss. They have actually rather softened Alex Kittens a bit in this scene to sort of make her look a little bit younger, I think.
Yeah.
And also the scene where he realizes he's kissed midair as far as Strax, Jenny, and
that wonderful moment that is totally broken.
Yeah.
God knows what that looks like to anyone else.
So obviously the Doctor is saying his final goodbyes to River while Clara's falling through the time winds. And hurry up, Doctor. You want to save her. Maybe being a little bit quicker off the mark might have been a better idea at this point.
But
lovely scene. Until the next time, Doctor. Don't wait up. Oh, there's one more thing. There always is, River. Isn't there always? I was mentally linked to Clara. Shut up!
Sorry.
Anyway, I'm not going to go through the lines anymore. Talk, please, because I'm just watching.
I like how
I'm talking to the dog!
I like how she does the goodbye, sweetie, to completely bookend both in.
Oh, yeah, hello, sweetie, goodbye, sweetie. I hadn't spotted that.
Yep.
I hadn't spotted that one. Well done, Kirby. Yep.
Well done. I didn't either. Very good.
Meanwhile,
it's another one of those things that I quite like, because later on, Clara collapses and the Doctor picks her up, and somebody's took a picture of that and from Asylum of the Daleks, where he's carrying Amy, and they put them on Tumblr, and I reblogged that.
Yeah.
It's a nice similarity.
So anyway, as the Doctor steps into his thingy, a great big light, just whatever that rotating thing is, time wind thing.
Okay.
Basically, that goes
all
white.
Into himself.
It goes all white and the screen goes blank. That's probably some sort of reset in some way, really. Magic, stop doing. Get out of it. It's trying to tangle up my wires. So anyway, Clara lands, tears in her eyes, in some mysterious, surreal place. We don't really know what it is. Do we?
And the First Doctor, not played by David Bradley, runs past her.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? But never mind, they should have done. They could have got away with that. They actually could have done those scenes with David Bradley and not used William Hartnell.
Yeah, I was expecting that all along.
Mm. But it doesn't matter. They've done a clever job.
It's a nice tribute.
It is. Nice. I do like. I mean, if this had been the 50th anniversary special, they probably said it was a pretty good tribute to all the other Doctors. But it isn't.
Yeah.
Well, no. What I want to know is, where is the Paul McGann doctor in all of this? I never saw him.
He was there for us. Not in this bit, no. But he
was on Facebook.
For 0.5 of a second.
Facebook.
I did look on Facebook, and the picture that they showed
he's there at the beginning,
didn't do anything for me.
He's not on this scene, but he's in the beginning of the story. When, if you watch it as it's playing, not in the freeze frame that's on Facebook, you can see it's the
Depending on theories, he
doctor.
Is at the end, but we'll get to that.
Yes, we'll talk. There's a few theories. Okay. I will talk about theories, and then you can talk about the theories you've heard. My theories, the real theories, in a few moments. But I do love this scene. It's fantastic. Yes. I had to go back and replay just this scene about 4 or 5 times. There's been a few complaints, actually, as to when John Hurt, at the end of his little scene, that the words come up on the screen, and I think somebody called Reese Partners complained about the fourth wall, etc., etc. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yes, I do too.
Yes.
Thank you, Robert. At the moment.
Of course, this leaf landing does...
I've heard lots of complaints about that.
This leaf landing does, in a hand, does sort of make the Rings of Akaten a bit more acceptable. Only slightly.
Fine.
Yeah, only slightly.
Only slightly.
That episode is perfectly fine, thank you very much.
Yeah, the words at the end, and the fact that the words are there didn't bother me, the direct contradiction did bother me.
Oh, okay.
What
contradiction?
Why is it a contradiction?
Well,
the
doctor just said that he was, that this particular one was not the doctor, and then 2 seconds later...
No, by night.
It's him, but he doesn't. Obviously, he's done something that the doctor would never do, and he's done, and he doesn't accept that he can call him. He can't. There was another previous episode that he said, the doctor says, "Oh, if I did that, I wouldn't be the doctor anymore." And it's that sort of thing.
The beast below.
Yeah.
Have any of you? Did any of you read that article in the Sun that John Hurt said who he's playing?
No, I heard about it. It was on Twitter, I heard about it, an aspect of the Doctor is what he said, isn't it?
I saw one that had a little bit more in it, and I really wish I hadn't seen that, because it's got me pretty grumpy, actually.
Until we actually see that, I don't necessarily put value in those comments.
No, exactly, no. I don't either. But anyway, so it's quite beautifully done, because the little dialogue they have... And the look in Matt Smith's eyes, amazing.
He's superb.
And when he turns
around... Actually, for a brief second, I had so many things going through my head. I thought, will I be right? Will this be David Tennant? Or will it just be a silhouette of it?
It would have been good if it was David.
Or something else that went through my mind was, will it just be a silhouette of a mysterious doctor who could be the next doctor? And I just thought, are they going to leave it like that? Mm. But then he turned around and we got the... words that took me out of it a little bit.
Okay,
just takes you out of the moment.
Well, we've got a little bit of time left. So can I just?
I wish that they had had a coming.
Yeah.
A preview. There was no preview.
I was just about to say that.
No, it would have been handy, I suppose. Anyway, I just want to say that loved it completely. I don't have to say much else. No, it was fantastic. Initially, my thoughts were he was a Valiard, because they mentioned the Valiard, because obviously we know there's some sort of Valiard-y thing going on in the Doctor's life, because they've actually mentioned it now and confirmed it happened, one of the names that was used.
Yes.
The other thing I thought he might be was the Tennant human doctor, which would have been a secret he hasn't mentioned since it happened. He aged, obviously, because he will age. They said that the Tennant human doctor Metacrisis will age. And could find a way of getting back to... But anyway, he's in some sort of strange place there, isn't it? It's in a surreal universe, so whether he's not actually really there. There's some sort of conversation that only Clara and the Doctor can see. So I thought it might be him.
A conversation you can see?
The conversation that Clara and the Doctor can see. Although it's the thing...
You see a conversation?
In your mind.
In Doctor Who you can,
In your mind. But if you're deaf, you can only really see a conversation anyway.
What?
Anyway.
What?
It's throwing me. God, where did I get up to? and then I thought, well, if it's an aged doctor, it could then be the eighth doctor. Old.
But why then would you just bring Paul McGann back? I don't know why.
because they want to bring John Hurt into it. And also, being, if it was the Eighth Doctor, as in Paul McGann's Doctor, aged, then it wouldn't be obvious it was him. It was an old version of him. And then I thought then it could be an aged version of any Doctor, really, that we haven't seen regenerate. That, will you allow me to finish the sentence? Magic!
No, because when the Doctor regenerates, that's the end of that Doctor.
Right, so that implies that it could only then be, if it's, and I'll have to explain this, it can only then be either the old human 10th Doctor or the McGann Doctor, old.
Or
just an incarnation of the Doctor that which you haven't seen yet and the Doctor's completely...
Let me finish the sentence!
An incarnation of the Doctor that we haven't seen yet because the Doctor decided to blank it out of his mind. He doesn't accept it as an incarnation of the Doctor. So that could be something between the McGann Doctor and the Eccleston Doctor. So it's like an incarnation that he regenerated. He wasn't in his mind the Doctor, so he's saying, right, I don't count that one.
So we're not supposed to count it.
Yeah, because they keep regenerating into younger bodies, you know, from our point of view, it's hard to imagine an old Doctor, but I'm just assuming, like the William Hartnell Doctor, who's an older Doctor, that he's just, you know, the body that he regenerates into. Because I don't think the Doctor's age.
But they have said that
maybe we are actually going to end up with a 73-year-old actor as the Doctor.
That's what I'm thinking.
That would be good. I wouldn't mind that.
Me neither.
But what I'm saying is, it could still be a Doctor that's just grown older, because they do grow old and then regenerate. The only reason why we see younger version of the Doctor is because he keeps on getting killed very early. You know, if you look at the Tom Baker Doctor, he looked considerably older when he was regenerated to when he first took over. Yes.
But what about
I disagree. The reason he keeps leaving his companions is because they get older, but he doesn't.
Yeah, but his body ages. He would then will regenerate. Yeah. That's how it works.
Go back to the War Games.
What now? Yeah, have we really got time to watch the War Games?
What the War Games said, it says you can live forever barring accidents.
Yes, yeah. yes, indeed. But
and what about the very much aged second Doctor and the two Doctors?
But what about the 200 years that the 11th Doctor apparently aged and didn't look any difference, but then it could be that every 100 years is like a 5 years to a Time Lord. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure it'll be explained. I want to hear what Mary thinks about this episode.
Well, for the most part, I loved it, but as I put on Facebook, when John Hurt turns around and he's the Doctor, everything that led up to it suddenly went away from my mind, and all I could think of was, what? What? What?
You're doing your tenet.
Where are we going with this? You know, obviously into the 50th anniversary special, and I'm dying to know, you know, where this leads to. It had plot holes and problems, but for the most part, I just ate it up, and this is one episode that I watched like 3 times, Kirby.
But I have a funny feeling, Mary. I have a funny feeling. And it's only a funny feeling, mind, because they showed the book, The History of the Time War, in The Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS, that this is the version of the Doctor that wiped out the Time Lords, and that's why he can't forgive.
That's what I think.
He can't forgive that version of the Doctor, so he doesn't accept it as a version of himself. So I reckon it is...
He's also who wrote that book.
Exactly.
Oh, is that what you think, huh?
So in physical terms, the 11th Doctor is in fact the 12th Doctor. So we're, you know, one step further towards the alleged 13 regenerations.
I wouldn't say he's the 12th. I'd put him much farther down the line.
No, I'd say that he's more likely to be the 9th Doctor, as in he followed McGann and preceded Eccleston.
That makes Matt Smith the 11th.
So you're saying that then he's been dropped out of the numbered timeline for that reason?
I'm saying the Doctor is refusing to acknowledge him as an incarnation of himself.
That's why he says he won't give him the name of the Doctor. The Doctor isn't that.
In fact, Matt Smith is the 11th Doctor, but the 12th incarnation. Makes sense, doesn't it? So did you like it, though? You said you liked it, didn't you, Mary?
Yes, I did.
Like, is there anything further you'd wish to add?
No, not at this time.
Oh, it's a shame. It's only a minute to go.
I know. just my comment, you know, which is, what?
I'll tell you what, Mary, the things you do to get out of appearing on You Won't Get This One are amazing. But I will let you know that when the show returns...
I realized that the other day when I was complaining about not being on, I realized, well, gee, I missed the part I do the worst in, so why should I complain?
I'll let you know that when the show returns to being recorded on a Sunday, which will be in a couple of weeks' time, I would imagine, you won't escape that, so please,
you must pay attention. You're saying in a couple of weeks we're not recording next week?
I'm recording on Tuesday of next week because I'm on holiday next weekend, so I can't record.
All right, so we're skipping a week of our recording, but you're doing your own recording.
Well, we can't record on Sunday, we can't record on Monday, but I'll be recording instead of like where it's a Monday today. It'll be a week tomorrow. I'll be recording. So in eight days' time.
Will we all be a part of that, or is that just your own personal
recording? I'll be recording. I'll be recording at 11 a.m. If you're available, that'd be great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be available. I'm available.
That's what I like to hear. Good. Anyway, yes, thank you.
All right. Well then, bye bye all.
Bye, Mary. No, right now we can talk about her. Right then, party! Where's the beers?
Woo!
That seems like a good time to insert an advertisement. No, that's all right. An advertisement. Advertisement break.
Welcome to the world of football mad Troy Brown, a typical 15-year-old with a loving family, a tight-knit group of friends, and a nice house in Cowes on the Isle of Wight. Materially, he has a comfortable life, but then no hormone-ridden, angst-filled teenager would ever describe their life as comfortable, and Troy was no exception. Plagued as he was, with the whole world is against me complex, no girlfriend syndrome, and the pains of requited love or lust, and the usual horde of teenage frustrations and obsessions. A privileged peek into his private, warts and all, 2003 diary reveals transformation of his boring, ordinary life as Troy tries to negotiate his many twists and turns in what was to become the most extraordinary year of his life. Fraught with family secrets, misunderstandings, dangerous liaisons, challenging adventures, shocking realities, and unexpected outcomes, interspersed with teenage insights into the state of the world, including war, crime, death and disease. As you travel with Troy on his one-year life-changing journey, you will undoubtedly laugh at the adolescent humour, cry at his misfortune, sympathise with his plights and empathise with his feelings as he works through his personal traumas and is forced to learn by his mistakes. Be warned, however, those of a sensitive disposition may also be shocked by some of the diary's content, possibly offended, but you are, after all, delving into the grimy mind of a pubescent youth. The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin by Adam Pearson, available as a paper book or as an e-book from Amazon and iTunes. And if you're interested in the sequel, From Troy to Man, Troy Brown resumes his diary. He is 17 and he desperately wants to leave home and start his life as a bachelor. He has just been dumped by his first proper girlfriend, and not because he has accidentally cheated on her twice during their relationship. She wants to play the field. Most of his friends have moved away from the island, and life out of school proves to be quite a challenge for him. Troy is forced to grow up because of his incredible ability to make mistakes. His mistakes, as usual, are of a sexual nature, and the consequences of unprotected sex begin to appear, seemingly out of thin air. Faced with fatherhood and separation from his children, Troy's attitude to life changes forever. His main concern isn't football anymore. It is how the hell is he going to be able to be a real father to his children, and how many children has he got? Of course, his life is full of the other problems associated with day-to-day life. Will he ever find a true love? Will he ever find a job that he is truly happy in? Can he solve a murder mystery? Can he avoid being murdered himself? Will he ever be able to be a true father to his children? All of these questions are answered in this book. If you thought that being a 15-year-old virgin was enough of a roller coaster ride for Troy, read on. This year and a half of his life may leave you needing to ingest a large dose of motion pills. From Troy to Man is available as an e-book from Amazon and from iTunes. If you're a fan of quizzes, and happened also to be a fan of the Beatles, why not buy The Beatles Quiz Book by Adam Pearson? It is available as an e-book from Amazon or from iTunes.
Hi, this is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, and you're listening to the 20 megabytes Doctor Who podcast. Rah.
Until now. No chance of debunking your bloody
toilet. I know, that's what I mean, that's why I want to watch
shh,
it.
Shh, shh. Where's Gallifrey? Oh, very long time ago. Oh my god! Who's that then, Deb? Oh, that's clever.
Yeah? What is it? What do you want?
Colin Baker. Well, there's Patrick Troughton too. Now what they should have done with that William Hartnell clip, they should have used the actor that's going to play the William Hartnell in the...
They should have
who is David Bradley, who played...
I'm surprised he's done it.
Who is? Who? I mean, Sean Pertwee, who does look... With a white wig, he would have looked just like... Yes, I agree. But it's fair enough, they had to use all the old actors, but that's good. They miss them out, don't they? He looks like Gollum. Reese likes her. She did say at the beginning, she's been split into a million pieces through time to save the Doctor. She said the women. Who's the other one then?
Time travel has
also what
she is,
though.
It's always the women that help him.
We are
doing
one law.
Yeah, but
Scrax
is a
woman.
Yeah, but not the one with the gigantic.
Who's breaking wind?
Women. They
you're my foot.
Women companion.
Yeah, but she said the women. Oh, thank you. Riversong. Isn't she in a library suit? If Riversong doesn't know his name, then we know this is before the library. Oh, she doesn't know.
I think I've been
murdered. Oh no. Don't kill Jenny.
They'll kill Jenny.
No, they can't. Oh, how come they're in the TARDIS? I mean, the dead TARDIS.
But they
say
that I've been... She said I've been murdered.
Yeah, she says she thinks she's been... That's interesting. So now this is after Rivers died. Isn't it? The Valeyard. That must be who John Hurt is. She mentioned the Valeyard. Yeah, she's getting her memories back. Memory took her memories, but she knows the Doctor's name.
So wait till I can get up there in a minute.
Good night, darling.
I haven't made a drink or nothing yet for
us. There's something weird going on here, because just a minute ago they were inside. Him and Clara were inside, weren't they? They were inside the TARDIS, him and Clara. Oh, look, it's a cloister room. Isn't it? Remember, they were inside and Clara was getting all her memories back, and then suddenly they're outside again. So, does that mean there's two of them in there? Oh, that's how Clara ends up scattered along his timeline. If he jumps in, Clara goes in after him, and that's why she's the way she is. Do you understand? Yeah, okay. Yeah, but he has met the Doctor on several occasions. Diana Cassano Mandelson. She's going to go in? And that's why she gets up. She's going to have to go in, because she'll always be there to protect him.
Going to get a drink? No.
Wait.
No.
In fact,
I'll
get a drink for him.
No.
You can wait 10 minutes.
Who is he?
It's a
Valeyard,
is it?
There's only me here. That's the point. Now let's get back.
But I never saw that one.
If it's John Hurt, then it's Valeyard. If it turns around, it's John Hurt. John Hurt plays another version of the Doctor for his 50th anniversary, but it's the Valeyard.
He is my secret.
Shh.
What I did,
yeah, it's John Hurt.
I did it without choice.
Allow me to explain. In the Trial of the Time Lord... That was a proper BBC book. In the Trial of the Time Lord, the Doctor was put up on trial for various crimes against the Time Lords, etc. And he was tried by the Valeyard. He was like the prosecuting counsel. But you found out at the end of the story that the Valeyard was in fact an evil incarnation of the Doctor.
He should
not. He is married from another house and a commoner. Basically, most of the Doctor's incarnations are good, but one of his sort of halfway in between two incarnations was bad, and that became the Valeyard. And the Valeyard tried to destroy, or tried to take all
so
the
Doctor. He's the Doctor?
He's an evil version of the Doctor. And he tried to take all the Doctor's regenerations in the Trial of a Time Lord. He wanted to get him tried, and his punishment would have been for the Valeyard to have all of his regenerations. Then the Valeyard could continue as a bad guy, as a bad version of the Doctor, like the Master, but worse. Because he's cleverer, he would be worse than the Master. So, even though that says introducing John Hurt as the Doctor, it actually probably means introducing John Hurt as the Valyard, because they mentioned the Valyard.
The Valyard is the Doctor.
Yeah, the Valyard is an evil incarnation of the Doctor. In the Tyler Palmer.
The Master was like, and he had different.
The Master was just evil, but he might have had a good incarnation.
Yeah.
The Valyard is a bad incarnation of the Doctor, like an incarnation that went mad. And in the story, it's in between its 11th and 12th regeneration. Sorry, 12th and 13th regenerations. Basically.
Shocker, mind blowing, just saying.
What about?
You watch the end.
Hi, this is Fraser Hines, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
So, we've had Reese, we've had me, we've had Mary, that's what she said. What?
I haven't said what I thought of it.
You said while we were commentating on it. Oh, no, I'm only joking. I'll go on then, Reese. Yeah. What did you think of it? I know you've got a few complaints about the end, but go on. You said you loved it.
Basically, the only complaint I have is... Now, this is nothing against John Hurt. He's a superb actor, but the drumming... The sound effect of the drums and the putting the title up there did break the fourth wall for me, because they're bringing in... an actor's name into the fictional world that they've set up.
Okay.
Yep.
In other words, breaking the fourth wall would have been him saying, look at me, I'm on Doctor Who, and turning to the camera and breaking out of character. But other people in a production team can break the fourth wall. Like, if you're on stage, a lighting operator can shine...
Did he look straight at the camera, though, Reese?
No, but the person who put the words onto the footage... did.
Oh,
it's like
a camera
operator at the theatre shining a spotlight on somebody.
Can
in the
I defend
that
it?
That breaks the fourth wall.
Can I defend it?
No, you can't. Because it
can I defend it, please?
And I didn't enjoy
okay,
it.
I understand that. That's fine. I'm not going to disagree with you because that's how you feel about it. That's how Jeff Waddell might feel about the whole episode. That's fine. I haven't got a problem with that. But I'd like to have a go at defending it a little bit because on a lot of American productions, before you see the end of the episode, the words executive producer come up over the face of whoever might be in shot. And Star Trek, you used to see, while the episode was on, the actors' names still appearing for about 3 minutes into the episode.
Yeah. They didn't do it in the first episode of Star Trek Next Generation. They didn't say, and here we have Sir Patrick Stewart, although it wasn't a Sir back then. We have Patrick Stewart as Jean-Luc Picard. They didn't have drums going boom, boom.
Oh,
look at this.
Yeah. You know, that's the like to be continued.
Of Doctor Who either.
Okay, I totally understand.
They don't do that.
I totally understand you getting irritated by that. That's fine. It doesn't irritate me. I think it's just
the only thing that irritates me was the words. If the words weren't there, that would have been a perfect scene.
But it was also
sense without the words.
Yeah, I know. Fair enough. But it was also because of the stature of John Hurt as an actor. He's a massive actor.
Yeah.
On this occasion, it's acceptable. No, not big in physical terms, but in name terms. I still don't understand why he's not Sir John Hurt, because he's totally on a level with Jacoby and McKellen. And we'll talk about Vicious in a minute, because that's a fantastic comedy series. And always referencing Doctor Who, which I love. And also the fact that McKellen's character, who's an actor, is trying to get a part, and he talks about his big role in Doctor Who was as a monster, and they take the mickey out of him because basically he didn't have a speaking part, I don't think. But anyway, it's just the fact that in three of the episodes they've referenced Doctor Who, which is
excellent.
It is excellent, yes. I hope everybody else gets to see that.
John Hurt.
It's not the best comedy ever. Does he? It's not the best comedy ever, but it's just so watchable because of the actors they've got in it. Obviously, if Frances De La... Good, I can't say her name. Frances De... She was in Rising Damp. And she was in the Harry Potter films. Anyway, back to this. So, have you finished, Reese? Because I wanted to hear what Kirby had to say.
Well, I'll sum up by saying, seeing as I missed the first 10 episodes of the episode...
10 episodes?
Episode,
10 episodes? Yeah, 10 episodes of this season. 10 minutes of the episode. I absolutely thought it was a great... Your laugh is so funny, Robert. I thought it was a great setup with Strax being in Glasgow and fighting Scotsmen and all that. But the shots we had of the previous Doctors, a lot of people thought it was over the top, but I love that sort of thing. And I just love what they did there, although it does kind of contradict what happened in The Doctor's Wife. I still love the scene.
Well, it does to you, but it doesn't to me, because
it does, because if you look at the plot lines of The Doctor's Wife,
that item that Clara steps into, whatever it's called, is part of the TARDIS. So she's basically been distributed by the TARDIS through time. So she has the TARDIS in her, in a way. That's why I said to you at the beginning, when it did like her, because this was the pre-Clara. The original Clara.
I just got where you're getting at. Yeah, okay, so she's part of the TARDIS. She told him to go inside her, and then she took off.
Yeah.
So she did steal him. Okay, that does make sense. I'm happy with that.
She has the TARDIS in her. That's what better for me. Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. She's been split up by the TARDIS, or she has the part of the TARDIS in her, so she must have some, the TARDIS must have some sort of control over at where it's sending her to save the Doctor. And that's... Anyway.
So this makes a lot more sense, because normally I get to see these twice, but I've only seen this one once. So thanks for explaining that. I was a little bit disappointed that I thought it was contradicting the Doctor's Wife.
Obviously, that's just they haven't really explained. That's how I feel about it. Obviously, each Doctor Who fan have their own way of explaining things, but for me, that makes sense.
Well, thinking about it, that makes sense too. Yeah, for me. So basically, I love the episode, but the words at the end for me, Gordon Jones, who will hopefully be listening, broke the fourth wall.
Yeah. Okay. I forgive it on this occasion because of the. Mind you, they didn't do it when Jared Jacoby appeared, who I say is on a sort of same sort of level.
Introducing Jared Jacoby as the Master.
They didn't do that, and they could have done. But looking back at it, John Hurt is an internationally renowned film star, actor, and,
I told my wife that John Hurt was in Doctor Who, and, she doesn't watch the show at all. She tolerates that everyone else in the house watches it. But she went, oh,
and
really?
Certainly the most renowned actor to actually have the name The Doctor by his sort of character playing list, I suppose. Yeah. Bigger than Peter Cushing, even. Who actually played Doctor Who.
By the way, I'm just queuing through the video again, and Clara's outfit on Gallifrey is a variation of the same thing that those engineers at the TARDIS Bay are wearing.
Okay.
It's got the same buckle.
Yeah, well, that's probably how she's managed to get herself into that particular part of the thing. So they didn't seem bothered, though, did they? Did you notice that? The mechanics didn't seem bothered. What's he doing stealing that old TARDIS? Oh, well.
They just said, what sort of idiot would steal a faulty TARDIS?
Yeah. Didn't seem bothered the fact that it was being stolen. But never mind. Where did we get up to? Right, Robert, what did you think?
Yeah, it was okay.
It was all right.
But
all right.
I loved it.
I reckon it could have been a two-parter, because it seemed a bit rushed.
It is the first part of a two-parter.
Yeah, it's going to be like a prequel to, big prequel to the big 50th anniversary, and they did say to be continued on the 23rd of November,
it is a two-parter.
Yeah, I'd say so. Mm. Although I doubt you'll see as many little flashback scenes.
Oh, I don't know about
that. You know, as people are saying, because only Tennant and Hurt are going to be in, and Smith obviously are going to be in the 50th anniversary, they've put all this montage of the previous Doctors in this episode to make up for that fact.
They'd have done it there too.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure.
I was looking forward to my theory coming true that David Tennant would be the last thing we see in this episode, and then we get to be continued. But
they could have done, couldn't they?
What the hey, we're going to find out what
they
that
certainly
is.
Could have put David Tennant right at the end, but then it doesn't matter because we will see him.
We will.
Who haven't we
and
had
that
so
video
far?
With him and Matt Smith behind the scenes is excellent.
We're in the middle of Robert.
No, sorry, you're still talking, Robert. Carry on.
I was. But, I mean, we still don't know what surprises are in store for the 50th.
Because obviously this is one of the first times, sorry to interrupt, that a finale has actually become actually really, really good. It's been, because sometimes they're a bit of a damp squib at the end of the thing, aren't they? And obviously we don't want the 50th anniversary to be a big letdown, so, because it's going to be hyped up.
Sure.
Anyway, sorry, carry on, Robert.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit disappointed, and I can understand a lot of what Jeff's talking about. Sometimes Doctor Who doesn't seem like the Doctor Who we used to know.
Mm, it clearly
and
isn't.
He has said something that a lot of the...
Singing a Ghost Head parody.
There seems to be a lot
that
of...
I used to know.
No, just that the special effects, I don't know, seem to be taking more of a thing over the plot. I mean, you look at Rings of Act 10, for example, you had nice visuals, but, you know, what was the story really? You know, things like that. So
it's basic. I can sort of something, but...
yeah. But I'm a bit disappointed. And I think, yes, this split that they keep on insisting of,
I absolutely hate it.
It just broke up this series in such a bad way, I think.
No, I agree. Yeah. But I don't think they're ever going to go back to it.
With this episode, after last episode, and I really loved that one, I looked forward to this one the most, probably because it was a finale. But yeah, I just got into the rhythm of watching Doctor Who week in and week out and again, but then it stopped.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just so annoying. Yeah. And you know what? Mm. For this finale, I couldn't sleep on... Saturday night, I actually got up, I think it was maybe 3 o'clock or something, to check whether somebody put this online, and sure enough it was, so then I started watching, and then I could go back to bed after, so I was a bit excited.
So anyway, Kirby, have you had your say?
Not yet.
Okay, go on then.
Brilliant.
Okay, right then, moving on, sorry.
It is so good that although I know there are a few errors and some little things in there which they don't bother me.
What errors?
Absolutely had no problems with this at all.
Yeah, it was 11th Doctor's error. So I'm just being American, as in era. Sorry. Oh, we've lost Reese. Bye, Reese. so Reese obviously couldn't bear your comments on the story, Kirby. Sorry, carry on.
What?
this was possibly one of my favourite of the Moffat era.
Yeah. Oh, completely. I don't know if it's my favourite of his era. It might be. It's certainly my favourite of this series. By probably...
Definitely of this series.
Hmm, by, not by... Well, I say by... It's twice as good as its previous, as my previous next favourite.
I still like the Crimson Aurora.
Oh, not that. It's okay. I like it a lot.
Just a nice romp.
Yeah. I like this Cold War.
Yep.
This was just... And this serious? Is the best of the finales.
Mm, well, I must admit, I'd like to watch this series as a 13-parter. Well, 14-parter, actually, including the Christmas special.
It'd be interesting to see how it runs together,
Without a break. Obviously, we won't be doing that as far as the podcast goes, because it's too close, but it'd be something I'll be looking forward to doing at some point in the future.
I'm wondering when we're going to get new episodes. Is it going to be fall of 2014?
I reckon it's 2015. I don't think we'll get any episodes in 2014. Oh, he's back. Hello, Reese.
I don't know what happened. Skype kicked me off for some reason.
No, it's perfectly
understandable. It doesn't
like you.
I'm
still connected,
you.
But I went... No, I'm still connected to the internet. But
probably connected to the TARDIS, yes.
It literally put me offline. But the internet was still connected. Yeah. It didn't make sense.
Right then, so are we all done?
Technology doesn't like me.
Yeah, we love it. We will look on Facebook and probably might be a good idea looking at Jeff Waddell's comment thread. Yeah.
I loved what Robert put out there. Now we know Sutek's secret.
Yes.
Yes.
Of that hand. I'll never look at that scene while watching.
Well, it's cute with that scene now. Because when I noticed it for the first time, I thought, oh no, I'm never not going to see the hand. But now I know. It's Clara. She saved the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
She saved the day by sleeping down.
That's for his piles, isn't it, Adam?
Anyway.
Like your hemorrhoids better, by the way, Adam.
Be quiet.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabyteers. It's 7:49, it's Saturday night, and I'm sitting here at my PC once again. And I've got a glass of wine with me.
He did send this straight after the episode, by the way.
South African It's on the ice. Very drinkable, very nice, you know. It's, we get it from the what's called a little market shop just around the corner. It's on the way to church.
Co-op.
On the curry house. £2 or £10. Or £12, I think. Don't pay, but it's very drinkable. Very nice. A lemony, almost a citrus flavour. Mm. Yes, it's actually very good. I've also got a packet of flame grilled steak crisps to eat. Anyway, I've just sat and watched In the Name of the Doctor.
Oh, boy.
In the Name of the Doctor.
I mean, yeah, what do you, it's, well, blimey, I mean, it just really, I mean, the intro, the pre-title sequence was just tremendous. Actually, I was right, because yeah. I did say this, that Clara was scattered through time, and I said that several times, so...
So did
yay,
I.
Yay, I was right, yo, rock and roll!
So was I!
So did I!
Yeah, proved right by those things. I hope the sound's okay, it's just gone a little wobbly on me, there's some very nice peaks on there, so I look at Audacity.
Did it go
but I did say she was scattered through time, and that's how she works. But yeah, no, it's. I really, really did enjoy the episode, and the lovely Dawn has just wandered back in. No, that's my glass of wine. It is not your glass of wine. You took your glass of wine with you, darling. Hang on. Speak up. They can't hear you. Speak up, darling.
I'm looking for the Neil Hannon.
The what?
The Neil Hannon
CD. I haven't got it. I don't know where it is. Okay. I see that's a lovely Dawn coming to try and find the CD. Then I don't know where it is. Oh, here she's walked to the door. Eh? I think she's had to get a bit of drink, but yeah, so I had a couple of beers anyway. God's going to sound actually garbage. I wouldn't surprise you, Adam, if you actually edited this whole lot out. Anyway, yes, let's just go back to the episode. And now, that pre-tape chronicle sequence was just tremendous. I mean, just when you suddenly saw. Because yeah. I thought at the beginning, when you saw the two figures going away from you, and it was the Doctor. Then suddenly, my God, it was the Doctor. My God, that's the First Doctor. And then suddenly you saw the rest of them. And you saw Colin, the Sixth Doctor, walking past. And you saw the Fourth Doctor in the corridor. And you saw the Seventh. Mm-hmm. That was just absolutely tremendous. It really was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anyone saw that coming. That was really something completely out of left field. And, blimey. I mean, yeah, where do you start? Interesting, right, let's get into the episode itself now. Good comical moments. I mean, with Stratford, always are good comical moments where they had the seance, I suppose you'd call it, you know, the conference call, and then suddenly River turns up, and River with a glass of champagne. Well, I mean, the lady is class. I mean, she's just pure class, so that would be her as well. But you know, you've got the comedy turn of Stratford in Glasgow, and of course Dawn's late mother was a Glaswegian, Dawn being half Scots, and I've been there a couple of times, and yeah, Glasgow is a bit like that, isn't it? Yes, I mean, obviously it won't be anything to the our non-English listeners, you non-English podcasters, you know, this people mind, thank you.
Ace?
That's what Glasgow is like. Yeah, I mean, Strax is a good comedy character, but also he does... He
I
does
was born in the UK.
When he brought Jenny round, I thought that was very good. Now, I must admit, I thought the Great Intelligence was, in a way, a bit of a waste. It could have been anything. It could have been anybody. It could have been... The Master. I mean, the Master could have done that. I think the Master could have done that slightly better as being the nemesis of the Doctor, because, you know, he is the nemesis of the Doctor. And how many people picked up the Valyard being mentioned? Yeah, that's one out of the past, isn't it? That really is, you know, they really are digging things out of the past here. So, yeah, I'm a bit disappointed with the way they use the Great Intelligence. It just wasn't quite right. I think they could have done it better having the Master doing that as trying to destroy the Doctor by destroying him through time. I think it would have worked. Riversong coming back, and initially River only being able to talk to Clara. And it's only Clara. Notice that. It's not the full name. It's only Clara this time. So again, they're making changes. You know, it is the fractured through time.
So it's Jenna, apparently.
Saved him. But then when the Doctor said, yes, it would hurt too much... I think to me it was fairly obvious it was going to hurt him too
much. John hurt
him much. Because that's something, you know, that's he had a deep bond with. You know, as a married man myself, you know, I don't know, it's something that you can't explain that bond that you have with somebody else, you know, until you go that deeper relationship and that he had with River Song. You know, River Song was his wife. And obviously, Adam, you're a married man.
Absolutely.
Robert, you're married. Mary, yeah, I think you're, yes, you're married as well. So, if you are married. Obviously, Reece, you know, you're only a young lad. I mean,
he's married,
right. You know, we'll find this, you know, we'll find a partner to take you through life. And it's an incredibly strong bond. And that's what took the Doctor through, you know, that's what kept him going. sorry, slightly track of thought, haven't I? Hang on, hang on a second. However, what we saw was the Doctor took his time, and it's seeing what his time sheet, seeing what he did. When Manushadaka went out and saw the stars going out, I mean, I suppose it's a bit like, God, that awful episode, I can't think of his title, you know, the one with the Olympics in, I've got completely blank.
Fear.
Yeah, the stars weren't there. But the stars going out, you know, this is the Doctor. The Doctor really does take on the universe, and he handles the universe. It's in his hands, isn't it? The way he manipulates it and works it. But
that's what she said.
He saved so many people who would not live if it were for him. That's why the stars going out just shows how much he holds the universe. And also another point, did you notice on TARDIS 2, right, when the Doctor crash landed, when he turned the anti-gravs off, and there's a broken window, oops, on the tomb, had the window broken as well.
Yes, we noticed.
It's little moments like this that you do notice with this. I think this is just... I know everyone's worried about this episode. I thought, you know, it could just blow the whole thing apart. And I'm doing my hand gestures to see, of course, when they work on audio. But I think it just really did show... This is one of the strongest episodes, and also it's one of the darkest filmed episodes. I think the makeup for Matt Smith, very dark around the eyes. His eyes really were dark.
Yeah.
You know, it really was.
He was crying.
He was so... There's no word for dark. You know, it's... He really just... Everything was so tight in him. I think that's what it gave away. That's what it gave him. And so we've got that. Yeah, the final thing, that's where the Doctor's grave is. Trenchlegore. You know, the theory of Trenchlegore. Where he should go. Now, that's his grave. We know that's really his grave. The grave is like the TARDIS it was at the time? Is it really? I don't know. But then, of course, we come to the end. John Hurt, introducing John Hurt as the Doctor. That was, I just sat there and went, wow. I mean, that it's just, sometimes they just write moments like that, and you just don't see that coming at all. You know, there are sometimes you get obvious moments, but this time you just never saw that coming. And it's, where's that going to take us now? Does that mean in November, November 23rd, when he comes back,
sorry,
he's matched with the Doctor? They said they filmed him. Have they really? Is that just a spoof?
Don't think that was me, did that?
As the Doctor. I mean, I came upstairs, got door and watched part of it, then wandered upstairs. So, if you look at a picture of Julian Fellowes, actually, for some reason, don't know why. I said, it's John Hurt's the Doctor. I said, what, John Hurt? You know, it's one of the greatest English actors. And he's going to be, somehow, he's going to be the Doctor. Don't know how. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up now. I'll probably watch this episode again either tonight when we get back, we go for curry now, or tomorrow when someone's tired. So I might actually do a follow-up to this as well. But I just thought... I posted on Facebook and said, wow. And that's what I could think of. That just was... It's one of the darkest... It's one of the most... complex episodes we have seen for a long time. So there you go. So anyway...
Very well done.
Happy days. Bye for
now. That's Andy Nunny. Thank you, Andy. Fantastic.
Thank you, Andy, yeah.
I was a bit disappointed I didn't get any of the wine that was on offer. But
no, I hate wine.
Yeah?
Oh. Yeah, I can't stand it.
I prefer cider.
Okay. Got some more audio feedback. I might have to adjust the audio levels on this.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood, California, with my feedback for The Name of the Doctor, the season finale episode.
Period.
Wow, what can I say? I have to admit that I was pleasantly surprised. I had no faith that this episode was going to be fulfilling in a story arc way, or more or less a singular episodic way, and I loved it on both levels. I loved it how they explained Clara to me in a somewhat reasonable way about what she is and what she's about, and oddly enough, she is, I know, a variation of what people were speculating at the very beginning, that she was splintered through time, and she was and is and will be. I really love the episode. I mean, they managed to squeeze in Strax and Vastra and Jenny and River Song in a credible way, and it gave meat to the story. They had the great intelligence. in there as the villain, and the Whispermen, which are very cool villains. But, I mean, I guess I'm under the impression that the Whispermen were, you know, versions of the Great Intelligence. I don't know if they're bad guys on their own separately. They would be. They could stand alone as their own bad guys, so I'd like to see more of them. But yeah, I've got nothing to say but good things about the episode. I know some people are having problems with it, which is understandable. I mean, it's an episode that everyone's going to have different opinions. But I loved it. And of course, the zinger at the end with John Hurt turning around and that being him. At first, you know, I thought it was going to be Eccleston. Like, he was going to, you know, he was going to finally show up in an episode, not the 50th, but that. But it turned out to be John Hurt as this missing doctor. You know, there'd been speculation on the web and spoilers about the 50th anniversary that John Hurt was going to be in it, but no one knew what role he was going to be in it. But all the talk about John Hurt was about being in the 50th, so I'm sure... If someone says that I knew he was going to be in it, I would highly question that. I think that took everyone by surprise that he would be in the final episode of Series 7B. So as to what he is and how he is this missing, you know, doctor, you know, this doctor that's been skipped over, we'll see. I guess we'll see during the 50th anniversary. But I liked it. I've got no complaints. The story whizzed along. I went really quickly. And you know what? I liked the kids in it. They were actually they acted decently.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So it must have been the direction and the script of last week, because the kids weren't a bother at all. And actually they acted pretty well, you know, pretty convincingly. So, yeah, I'm just going to throw last week's Venom to their portrayals based on, you know, bad direction. I also liked how the doctor got closure with River. River is one of my favorite characters from the new series, and it was good to see her back. We might see her again. I kind of doubt it, just by the way it ended, and based on the chronology of their relationship, I think they are at the ending of it. Maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure people know the River Song chronology better than I do, but I think like that's it, since she referred to her as Professor Riversong or something like that. I know that has something to do with it based on her timeline. But yeah, anyway, I'll miss her. She was great. I know she's a real polarizing character, but I really liked her. Yeah, so all in all, it was, that finale made up for a pretty lackluster Series 7B. Mm. So it's awesome. Now we can get prepare for the anniversary episode. So that should be fun. Anyway, that's it from me. Hope you guys have a great week.
Thank you, Patrick. More or less agreeing with what most of us have said. I will just try and emphasise that this episode was so good. Basically, you can judge it on Ben. Ben liked it. So to be fair, if we liked it, well, that's for Ben. He didn't say it was all right. Yeah. He said it was good. He liked it.
So he said it was good, so that must be really good then.
Yeah, exceptionally good. And somebody earlier on said it's the best one of the Moffat era. Was that you, Kirby?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably have to agree. Really? It's got to be up there somewhere.
One of the best. One of the best. Not the best.
One of the best. Okay. One of the best, if not the best, because obviously you've got to bear in mind there's episodes like The Doctor's Wife and...
See her.
Girl Who Waited.
Fair, the Girl Who Waited. Thank you for inserting me.
Yeah.
I might consider taking a point off Robert and giving you a point before we start the quiz for that.
Plus, I'm still very, very fond of 11th Hour.
Yeah, so oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah,
I'm fond of the Big Bang and the Pandora.
You know, something dawned on me when Patrick was talking about John Hurt playing this missing doctor. You know... Mm-hmm. They could, in a way, retire Matt Smith for a year and just do a whole series of him as the Doctor playing a sort of however he fits into the timeline.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Matt Smith, they could have it that he can do other stuff for a while and then come back.
Not saying they will do that, but they could.
Adam.
Hello.
I think Moffat's already alienated a lot of fans already. I think that would alienate them even more.
No, I'm just excited about the possibility of the 50th anniversary being a Time War orientated episode. About what I've heard about possibilities of us seeing a regeneration of the 8th Doctor into this Doctor, and maybe this Doctor into the 9th Doctor. They could do it. They've managed to bring Hartnell back to life. So... they could do it. Yes. We got some more audio feedback. Shut up. Yeah, go on then, Robert.
Have you seen that timeline photos that Kirby has posted?
Adam Ree Kirby.
Is that like my mother when she's trying to call her out which son she's
talking
about?
I don't think, yes. I do that all the time.
Sorry, I missed the question now. Sorry, you were saying? What photo? Sorry.
The Aztec
pictures.
No. It's from...
Where they got all the clips.
Yeah, I did see that.
No, it's not that. It's the other thing. I did link you to it, Reese, as well. From The Matrix of Gallifrey.
All right.
Oh, there's just some interesting photos on there.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I posted another one I just found on there. Robert said that there were interesting things out there.
Okay.
They've got some more audio feedback.
I quite like one I found, actually. Can I mention it?
Yeah.
I'm on 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Sorry, shut up, Ian. Yeah, go on. Sorry, Ian. Reese was speaking. Carry on.
Yeah, so there's this picture which is basically taken the ending with John Hurt saying introducing John Hurt as the Doctor, and then it says, and still not Ginger.
Right, shall we listen to Ian then?
Yes, right. Carry on, Ian.
The Name of the Doctor by Stephen Moffat. If Vastra had simply ignored the prisoner, Clarence DeMarco, everything would have been all right. Except it was been a very short episode. Friend of the show, Louise Jameson, played Rosie DeMarco in EastEnders.
Yes.
The Hartnell clip was very good. I was not impressed by the various extras rushing past dressed as a Doctor. It was like a clip from a convention.
Bring back the proper ones.
The ending went on too long.
It could have ended after
Clara jumped into the timeline. River says jumping into the timeline would tear someone apart. Of the 7 people present, 3 of them jump into the timeline, and the only one destroyed was the one without a true form to start with. Anyone who said Clara was another Jaggeroth type character was right.
Thank you.
Clara did not see any Doctors beyond Matt Smith. I suppose we're getting another reset after Moffat goes. It was a very enjoyable episode, but it had lots of spectacle and not much plot. Yes. Oh my god, they killed Jenny. But not for long, she's fine now. I don't think we will see River again. I think that was her swan song.
Yes, I can indeed.
We have an extra Doctor now. I suppose it can't hurt. Bye for now.
Yeah, that's pretty typical that She Who Must Be Obeyed decides to phone right in the middle of Ian's. I mean, yes, if you hadn't interrupted it in the first place, that would never have happened. Meanwhile, I have to go and... One, find out where the blimmin actually is, and two, move on. So, before we move on to this week's edition of You Won't Get This One, would one of you very kindly, because I'm not going to set up my Skype link, very kindly go through the Jeff Waddell thread on Facebook and talk about Ian's feedback. By the time I get back, I hope you finish so we can get on with the quiz.
Are we going to talk about Ian's feedback?
Yeah. And yeah, do that, and the comment thread on Jeff Waddell's Facebook. See you in a minute. Bye bye.
What? Okay. No, I was just going to say about you know how Ian mentioned about the various extras running by. He was talking about the extras, not the actual clips of the Doctors. But you know how we see, like, we could have had Paul McGann rushing past. Instead, we have somebody looking like Paul McGann, and we could have had Paul McGann. You know what I mean? I think that's what he's saying.
Mind you, we could have had Paul McGann where John Hurt was if he is the Eighth Doctor, but never mind that. That's just a theory. But yeah, I think I found the Jeff Wardell post that Adam was talking about.
I'm going to. I'm still here, but I've got to step away for a couple of minutes. So carry on.
Oh my God, we're disappearing one by one. Robert, hold me close.
I'm still here.
Oh,
it's just this watched again out of garbage, is it? Yep. That one? Okay, yep. Yeah, good.
So basically, Jeff said on Facebook, if you're not on there, listeners, which you should be, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, plug. Basically, he said he watched the episode again. He thought it was utter garbage, like most of this season, which, we're all entitled to our own personal opinions. I disagree with him.
I like Andy's
comments.
And
then Andy was a bit harsh, actually. He said, yep, you're right. Most of your comments have been utter garbage. Go away. I thought that was a little bit rude. And then David Adams, who I think is actually a friend of Jeff's, said, ooh, meow.
Yes.
And then Jeff said, I was willing to watch this with hope, but it was utter nonsense and a disappointment. The more I think about it, it has been poor. The more I think about it, it has been poor. That doesn't make sense to me.
The more I think about it, it has been poor. I can understand that.
Oh, the season, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry if it upsets you. In my opinion, this has been worse than the specials. I think he's talking about the whole season.
Well, he was talking about I was willing to watch this with hope, talking about the stories just watched, but it was utter nonsense. So he's talking about the story. And he says, the more I think about it, it has been poor. I mean, maybe he could have been talking about the whole series.
Well, then I think he moves on to say that he's talking about the season because he says, sorry if it upsets you, but in his opinion, it's been the worst by far since the specials. And I don't know what he's talking about because the specials were fine.
They were a mixed bag. And I think, given the specials, considering they had the time to work on them, they could have been so much more. And but as he says, it's his opinion, and it as fans of Doctor Who, we all don't agree on what's our favourite episode, what do we like about all that. So we each have our opinion.
Well, also, he's been watching for 40 years. So when he watches an episode and we both like it,
I've been watching since as long as I can remember as well. As I said, my earliest memory was the Planet of Spiders, Pertwee's bowing out, and that was 1974.
You two would come to a new episode from a completely different perspective from me because of my age and because of what else I've seen. So you'd be able to compare it to classic stories that you've grown up with, and you might see references or you might see similarities, which I probably would have missed.
Precisely, yeah.
Where did we get up to? David Adams said, are you still there, Jeffrey? And this is where I got a little bit worried, because he said, well, I'd better go, because if you don't love this season, then you're not a Doctor Who fan. I think it's been, in the main, terrible. So bang goes 40 years. I have to completely disagree. Oh, go on.
In what way would you disagree with that, though?
Well, he's just taking a couple of overly opinionated fans who love this season, and they're saying, oh, don't say anything terrible about my precious baby. This is my favorite season. Yeah. And they're just saying, oh, go away. You're not a true Doctor Who fan just because they like it. They're not open-minded.
I know what
enough.
You mean, yeah.
But
so, in my case, it's like Fear Her is probably one that's quite loathed, a story that's quite loathed, isn't it? I mean, it's not, it'd probably be at the bottom of most, I'd say, new Who fans. But even with something like that, you can still find things to like about it. I think, on the whole, it was a pretty good story, apart from this stupid Olympic business with, him running into, that was just crap. Honestly, for me, it was. But there are other things that I do like about the episode, like the idea of her drawing people and, they become drawings, that kind of thing, and the scribble sort of monster. Things like that I quite like, and the ideas behind it. But, so it's just like this series. I've enjoyed certain bits of it, but I can sort of understand a bit of where Jeff's coming from in that some of it just doesn't feel like it's Doctor Who anymore. It's like it's Moffat's version
of
Who.
Well, I disagree with that,
is.
But yeah, I wouldn't quite go that far. I think it, well, to be fair,
well, I mean,
in
that's
the
just,
series,
maybe it's because, yeah, maybe that's because I've got the classic
way
series
of writing,
behind me. Yeah.
Or producing Doctor Who, so.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Philip Hinchcliffe had his own way. And,
yeah, that's true, yeah. But I guess the only way we can evaluate it is looking it back in hindsight, with a few years behind it, maybe.
Yeah. Well, basically, should we read all of the comments? Because it's quite a long thread, yeah. And Adam wants us to be done by the time he gets home.
Oh, it's just as I interrupt, sorry.
So where was I up to?
I still hear Jeffrey.
Ben goes 40 years. And then David Adams says, just 40, weak earthling. And I'm glad he said that, no one else. And then Jeff says, I'm utterly fed up with this fandom, which says, if you don't like it, go away. Well, to be fair, if you don't like it, why keep watching it, if you know what I mean? That's what I feel about that.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Can I answer that, though?
Yeah.
What, if you don't like it, how do you know there might be something that you like about it unless you watch it, though? Or maybe it's like me. Sometimes you watch and think, well, you know, I might come across something good here. And, yeah. You know, he may have, I mean, now we know that he didn't, but he may have been watching to see, oh, well, surely things will pick up for the finale.
Hmm.
And it's only after the finale is gone that you think, well, I didn't really enjoy that much. And then, you
That's
know,
what
it's
I
like,
thought well, last season, I didn't think much of that plot thread at all with the Doctor dying, and because the last two episodes had so well the last episode actually because it had so much to do with that whole season arc and that plot thread, I really didn't enjoy it that much. It's the same thing
yeah.
as that Jeff had this year. Lots of people were loving it, and I only had a few episodes that I liked, and this time around I seem to be loving it, and he's only got a few episodes that he's kind of liked.
I mean,
you are still jabbering.
Yes,
we're jabbering on about Jeff's thread on Facebook.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got to get on with reading it, I suppose. Again.
Yes.
Let me find it. Which one is, what's it starting with? Is this the Watch It Again, Outer Garbage one?
Yes, yep.
Okay.
Yep, that's the one.
I'm up to him saying he's utterly fed up with the fandom, which says, if you don't like it, go away, or worse.
I don't know anyone who says that.
Some people do,
he's probably
though.
Taking some bad experiences from a forum
yeah.
or somewhere else on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because that happened to me, and that's why I don't use
some
forums.
Yeah. Some people can be very nasty if you sort of
like
say something contrary to the popular opinion or whatnot.
Yeah, if you say David Tennant isn't the best Doctor in the universe, he's really
yes,
good,
precisely,
but they're
yeah.
all very good, then they'll go,
yeah.
oh, go away.
yeah.
But I'll carry on with what he was saying in that comment. I think this season has been terrible, but it's better than RTD stuff.
Seriously.
Get my mouth stuff shut. No, he said season because it's a season.
I know.
You see.
I know. I'm reading. I'm correcting.
Sorry, I don't. No, he's entirely correct himself. So you don't need to change it. You need to change what he's saying here that he says
oh,
it's better
God.
Than RTD stuff. But no, never mind. I'm sorry if I don't fall in love with. Hang on. I'm sorry if I don't fall in with I love Moffat. I think there should have been an apostrophe or something around that. But never mind.
Ah, yes,
I've offended him over
RTD. I'm sorry
RTD.
I don't fall in with I love Moffat. Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry if I don't fall in with I love Moffat. You know, buddy years around that. I've defended him over RTD. You can go back and look, but it's only my opinion. And I think this season has been average. I'll delete myself if need be. It's just an opinion.
Yeah, you're allowed to have that. Yeah,
you're exactly. No problem.
Fine. Yeah. Then the only winner would be the section of fandom that wishes to silence criticism. Oh, and you're ugly too. That's David Adams who said that.
Nice, David.
Well, one, they're friends, and two, he's
I
saying
know,
that
I
it doesn't
know.
Matter,
yes.
he doesn't mean it, and the other people don't mean
yeah.
it. Yeah. Christopher Lee Gallagher. Christopher Lele.
The third,
yes. I'll agree it's not been a good run. I like Bell's journey.
Ill agree.
Yeah, but I ignore those sort of things because I'm nice, and I type typos as well, but I don't care.
He'll agree, obviously.
All right, I'm going to read it the way he wrote it because he did write something the way I'd write it. He'll agree it's not been very good. I liked Bells, Journey, and Crimson Aura. I really liked Bells. Yeah, whatever. and most of tonight's, but it's not been great as a whole. I don't think Moffat has... I do think Moffat has neglected Who in favour of Sherlock. He should have concentrated fully on DW. I think he means Doctor Who. Nah, in all seriousness, I'm getting fed up with the attitude, if you don't like it, you ain't a fan. I might as well blow out. I beg your pardon?
Bow out. You said blow out. You said blow out.
I know. I read it as blow out too.
Blow up.
that was Jeff again. I keep forgetting to read the names.
Yes, I know you mean it's easy when
you and I are looking at it. That. I don't need to read names, but people are actually listening. Yeah. Who's next? Chris O'Donoghue. I thought tonight emphasized how we need a showrunner to be dedicated to Doctor Who. Is that what you're trying to say?
I agree with that too. Yes.
Best of this short series by far. What do you mean short series? It's been going for 50 years. Oh, he means a season, right. On second viewing, I've liked most of this season. Family asleep. It's so going to treat myself to a second quiet viewing. I quite like that. I hope it holds up to a second time round. Oh, and thanks to the Sun for the spoiler. Yeah.
What was the spoiler? The Sun.
John Hurt's saying who he's playing, and I hope he's lying about that.
Yeah, I think he's lying.
I hope he is, because Moffat would have mentioned him, actually.
Or he's been misquoted.
Misdirected.
Yeah, he could be misquoted.
He could have been misdirected as well.
Yeah, and it could have been the Sun trying to get some more readers, more money. And then Christopher Lee Gallagher III is back. The bit with the doctors running past Clara was very surreal. Loved it.
It was. Somebody, especially the familiar, second doctor. Yeah, who's this? Yes. Who's this fellow? Peace Raten?
Reese Parton. Is he related to Dolly Parton?
What has happened to you? Used to have to run out of here on Monday mornings, or no?
I know he used to be late. Right. Yeah,
that was last year. I've got drama classes on a different night. It's tomorrow night now.
It is tomorrow there.
I'm going to tomorrow.
The next day.
Tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in its petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death.
Okay. This guy called Reese Parton said, nobody here said that if you don't like it, you're not a fan. Although I wrote not a
fan. No. You've got that wrong. Not a fan. Not a fan.
That's the one. Not,
you're not a fan.
You're not a fan. I've been feeling sorry for you, Jeff, because I have been liking these episodes, and I'd say it's been Clara that's giving us these different opinions. I like her, okay, love her. I've liked these episodes. I've liked the season. I say like because it has been different, but I've still liked it. You don't like her so much, and you've thought there were many more misses than hits this season. Like I said, I've been feeling sorry for you because I can't see anything wrong apart from a little less plot than I was happy with in Crimson Aura with this season.
Well, with millions of Claras scattered through time, there have been many misses.
Miss Clara. But she's not married, though.
Who, Magic? There's a boy. What are you about?
We're not. Okay. We're talking about someone else. David Adams said, in Jeff's defense, whilst his opinion may not be agreeable to all, the fact is... What?
No, Jeff's should have an apostrophe.
Oh, for God's sake. Welcome to the 20-megabyte podcast.
Most of your comments have been utter garbage. Go away at the top of this thread. Are rude, to say the least. Yeah, Andy. And somebody, that stranger Parton bloke, says, there's no need to defend him from me.
Again?
That was too far, Andy. What? What do you mean again?
No, you saying again.
Will you stop doing the blimmin' grammar thing. Reef.
No, I was just saying Reese again.
Sorry. Oh, right, back again. I was just saying I don't share his opinions, and I'm sorry those opinions are so negative to what's happening on telly. I might not agree with him, but I'm on his side. He has his opinions, and he's allowed to express them.
Yeah.
That's what I love about podcasts, and that's why I do so many. It's a place to express opinions.
So how many do you do now, Reese?
Have you got enough fingers? Count?
I've got plenty of fingers.
Oh, don't swear.
What do you mean?
Just looking at the next comment.
Oh.
Something to this, he says.
Male genitalia to this. I've loved most of Moffat's era.
What's wrong with bollocks? Eh?
Bollocks?
For God's sake, Kirby!
It's an bollocks album by the Sex Pistols, never mind the bollocks.
Yeah, okay, just shut up. Be quiet.
Oh, bloody hell, Robert.
Bollocks.
I've loved most of Moffat's era. I've defended it. I haven't liked this run. I liked Hyde, and I liked parts of Tonight. I mean, if that means I ain't a real fan, well, so be it. I'll take 40 years of watching it and bugger off.
Nice.
But again, I have to state that nobody on this group actually said that, except for Andy, who was just expressing the fact that he disagrees with him in a rude light. Who's
Andy,
next? Chris
Andy is a fan. Can I just say, Jeff is a fan because he obviously cares so much.
Yes,
absolutely.
And it's upsetting.
He hasn't actually got that.
Yeah.
Look, can I just point out, can I just sort of even things out here? Because obviously this is really the Jeff Waddell podcast, because as I say, we've dedicated this to Jeff. Jeff's cross with Andy's comment, and Andy was obviously cross with Jeff's comment. And I think that's basically, you know, what's happened here, and I'm upset about that, but not with them individually, but the fact that this has happened, because both Andy and Jeff are quite important to our little group of Doctor Who fans, and I hope that Andy and Jeff can give each other a big manly hug and move on from this. Carry on. Chris O'Donoghue, I think that's where we got up to. Yes.
Yeah, if you're buggering off, you could take Riversong with you.
God's sake.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that, but never mind. It's all opinions. It's personal opinions. David Adams, she's gone, brackets. That was pretty clever, close brackets. As
pretty clear.
That's not really how you spell professor, is it?
No, it's one F.
Oh, for God's sake.
Professor Song, the river we see, was immediately after the library. I had to make sense of that for a second. Chris O'Donoghue again. It's science fiction. She could come back. Look at the example of Rose. I find River's delivery irritating. Sweetie,
so mine
spoilers.
Says she can come back any time. Yeah. You somehow did not read that word.
Never mind. It's going to be a 2.5-hour podcast.
She can come back. And then David Adams, hope not. Rose, I'm avoiding that word there because Adam doesn't like swearing.
Bloody.
Is the downside to Tennant's return. He could have left her looking after the 17 kids they probably had whilst time lock key on the beach. I think there's meant to be a D there. Chris O'Donoghue says, hopefully Billy Piper has remembered how to play Rose this time. And David Adams said, less lighting on the teeth. And then that Carton Monty said, what are you saying? Oh, sorry, saying. That's what happens when you fill your mouth with huge teeth. You missed that first time around, didn't you, Robert?
Oh, that's funny. Yes, I did. I hadn't read it yet. I bet he looked at bits of it.
Right, that explains a lot.
Yes.
Can I continue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris O'Donoghue, even better on rewatch without wife helping her self to more of the takeaway and the kids asking questions. Moffat's two episodes are class above anyone else's this series? What? Oh, season, right.
This other episode? Season. Is he just talking about this half?
The Bells of St. John.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Then it's Adam Bells. Saunders, I thought she caught her speech impediment from off Tennant. I'm sure he's sorry. And then that Parton bloke, who must be related to Dolly, said, other way around. He regenerated. When he regenerated, he picked up her way of speaking. That's what RTD said anyway. And then Adam Smith again.
It's very strange. I'm reading along, and every few seconds as you read each of these, the little like hand signal turns on. I think that Robert is clicking them.
Can I just say, that last point was really good about what RTD said about picking up the way that people speak when they regenerate. Now, what if Clara was with the Ninth Doctor when he regenerated?
Oh, that is good.
Ooh, yes.
I like that.
Anyway, carry on.
I'm happy with that. Where was I? That's what RTD said anyway. Adam Saunders again. Either way, sometimes it really takes me out of the story when I'm watching. Same with Amy, sounds like she's had a heavy cold. But that's a Scottish accent, I thought. No, never mind. Sorry, Jeff. And then Adam P.
Just get on with it. How long have you got, Kirby?
Whenever.
Oh, that's right then. All right, because we've got to do the quiz yet. Go on, yes. Do you want me to read that bit? Sounds like something a bit more realistic.
So we can get the authentic accent.
Jeff, I like the fact that people don't like it. Opposing opinions are important to the universe, and this group is... and its mother, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Ben hates Moffat, but we love him, and we wouldn't be without you either.
Moffat?
Shush! Ben, don't be disheartened by people that don't have a democratic mind. Oh dear, that might have been a bit upsetted, Andy, a bit. Oh, probably not. I didn't read the first comment, you see. We want to hear your contrary opinions to agree, for me, on this occasion, disagree. Then I said, Jeff, are you still there?
Yeah.
If you've lost another group member, I will not be happy. Carry on, Reese.
Angry face.
And then Matthew Kressel. He said, having not seen the finale yet, I can't comment on it. What I can say is the latest batch of episodes has been very Marmite in terms of how they divide fans. People seem to either love an episode or hate it, and then bicker with those who have an opposing view. Very true. I think that it's important to remember that as much as we disagree, we're all still fans of the same TV program, and remember that other opinions are just as valid to them as the ones we hold.
Yep.
We need Matthew to provide some more audio feedback.
Yes,
and Dr. Phil, as back, I alluded I think, to last I, week.
Yeah, I where's Dr.
Busy,
Phil?
He's busy. Matthew's busy getting ready for his convention.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know that.
I think it's in 3 weeks.
Okay, fair enough. Like moving on, Mr. Ben Shoveler.
Because you know him so well, could you read Ben's bit? I'm sure you could impersonate him.
Well, me?
Yeah.
Well, what gets me is sometimes people just...
I'm supposed to be Ben.
Or Christopher Eccleston, isn't it?
What gets me is sometimes people just seem to love it because it's Doctor Who. Personally, I think
my brain hurts. You
should call a spade, and if it's badly written and makes no sense, then that should be said. Criticism has to be allowed because it's not everything is always good, as this series has generally proven. Sure, right.
His mate spelt
sense. That's
wrong.
What she said. Hey, carry on.
It doesn't say
that's
that.
What she said.
Sense
is S-E-N-S-E. Oh, God.
Who's this now?
Oh, it's probably BPI. Find out, won't we?
BPI.
Hello?
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 Oh, hi, it's Adam.
Yes?
Yes, I'm just on your website. Do you do wedding videos?
I do, yes. I'll just check for you. Won't be a sec.
Should you continue?
Yeah. David Adams said, and direct insults are best left to Gallifrey Base.
I've never been on Gallifrey Base.
I don't think I have either. They're much better at it there.
I've heard a lot about their criticisms, or insults.
And then later on, Adam Pearson, which is after he'd seen the episode, said he loved it. And then Adam Saunders said, I can't even read. I laugh too much. Can you read it for me? Because my eyes have actually started to water.
Same.
That can be true, but there are people who do like it because they actually like it. Yes. That'd be me. At the end of the day, it's a TV show. Some like, some love, and some hate it. So I left out it for love it. Never mind. There's no point in getting all riled up about it. Just accept people have different opinions, and that's a good thing. I need to just wipe my eyes for a second. That was too funny. not what Adam Saunders wrote, what Robert.
Adam Pearson
said. Yep, Adam Pearson
lots
said.
Of Adams on. Have you noticed there's a lot of Adams? There's David Adams. There's Adam, Pearson, Adam Saunders.
So in other words, there's Adam.
It's the 20 megabyte Adams family.
Hang on. 20 megabyte Adams Apple podcast.
Yes.
Definitely.
But Adam Pearson said, I do. I love difference of opinion, and I'm sure that some people liked it even more than I did. And then Kirby Butley Slowen, do you want to read your bit?
I thought it was great.
Adam Saunders said, oh, yeah.
For me, there were four some episodes. Two good episodes and two okay episodes. Pretty good.
I'm so sorry, Adam. I'm so sorry.
Sure. For me, there were three superb episodes, Cold War, Aurora, and Name. One horrible episode, Singing Rings, and the rest were okay.
And Adam Saunders said, I think Rings got an undeserved kicking. It wasn't the best, but it wasn't Fear Her.
And he said, to this.
I believe that was you.
Yes. Adam's going to have fun editing.
So you wanted me to read Mary's comments too?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'll do my best 10th Doctor impression because I think that's what she was getting at. What?
Yes.
I mean, what? And then Kirby Butler Sloan said.
I'm sorry. I was.
Wait.
I'm trying to find her. I have to expand this. Doctor is the Elephant Man?
And then I said, indeed, Mary, indeed.
That's very deep. Very deep.
Well, that's what her comment was, very deep. Then Gordon Jones, who I was addressing my message about breaking the fourth wall to, said that the Doctor is a name an old man adopted long ago. No reason he shouldn't shrug it off now and again. And then Mary said, so is his name Please? We sure had a lot of that in this episode. A name hiding in plain sight? Yeah? Question mark? Then Gordon said, I thought he said Ace when the door opened, and a shiver went down my spine as I'd once read a fan fiction basically doing all you zombies with Doctor and Ace.
All you zombies.
No. All you zombies is a Robert Heinlein short story. It's very timey-wimey. It only has one character as all the characters. One person is all the characters.
Okay.
Hey, Kirby.
Yes.
Did you see what you just posted?
Yes.
I think you would have done.
Right after I did?
Yes. I was just going to post specifically.
And then you put
that part.
Yeah.
And
in particular, you said
put yours. Yes.
Yes.
Also, have you seen
the important part.
Comment, Robert? There's Rhys Parton and Robert Haynes.
Who?
Robert Haynes. You've liked your own comment.
Yeah. Where am I? I know I did. Yeah. Do you like that?
I just thought that was a funny thing to do. Never mind. Captain Ian Kirk said, River said his name and the TARDIS heard her, but we didn't because she's a techno ghost. It sounds like some sort of band, doesn't it? Or genre of music. Gordon Jones said, yeah, I know, but just for a beautiful, glorious moment. That fanfic was canon. Marvelous.
Yeah.
And then
I posted this before my Facebook had updated with Gordon's, which is why I'm kind of repeating. Yeah. Ian said, River said the name and we did not hear it. As expected, although part of my brain was worried that a name would be revealed and was relieved it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Same here.
This is Daphne Ashbrook and you are listening to 20 Megabyte Podcast. Don't miss it.
Okay. It's time for this week's You Won't Get This One. As usual, be quiet. As usual, Kirby is the first on the list to gain a question. Are you ready, Kirby? So that's a blooming eel. Right then, question number one goes to Kirby. It's, what does convict say is near in the form of a rhyme? Do I have to take that back again?
Do I have to say the entire rhyme?
It's no. Whisper. Yes. Yeah, the answer is Whispermen, yes, is the correct answer.
Yeah. I mean, I have not memorized the rhyme.
Okay, Reese.
I did post the rhyme about an hour ago.
You don't get any points for that.
You remember it?
Anybody, if anybody else interrupts, they will get a point deducted. Reese.
Oh, okay.
Point deducted. Oh, no, it is you, isn't it? No. Right.
And then point given back.
What is the name of the man Strax is fighting with?
I don't know. Pass on.
Anybody else?
I don't know.
The character? I don't think
that's his name.
His name is Archie.
Character or the actor?
Archie, never mind. I said the character.
Oh, that's right. He does say Archie to him.
Right.
Darn.
Robert.
Yes.
What classical music is playing as the conference call begins?
Ah, that's the Four Seasons.
That's correct.
Vivaldi.
Woohoo! Right. Kirby.
Yes.
What address was on Clara's letter from Vastra?
I should have written it down. Don't know.
Anybody?
Nope.
Three.
To who was it?
Be quiet. Three. Be quiet. Three Oak Street, Chiswick. Reese.
Now, has anyone checked to see if that's a real address?
No.
No.
Reese.
Probably the BBC.
Yes.
What is the name of the murderer?
The murderer?
Hmm.
Oh, wait. Yes. Hang on.
The convict who is also the murderer. The murderer in the convict, the one who murdered all the. Oh, for goodness sake.
I've seen this once, all right? I've forgotten who he was. No, I don't know.
Anybody?
No idea.
Give me a neck. You won't get that one. Then it's Clarence DeMarco. Robert.
Ah, that's right. What's the name? Talked about DeMarco, didn't he?
Yes. Robert.
Ian did.
Robert.
Yes.
How does River wake Strax up?
I know.
I know. When's this?
In the episode we watched on Saturday. Well, Sunday. No.
At the end of the conference.
Yes.
That. Yeah, I'm just trying to think.
Well, she does only wake him up once during the story.
Yes.
No, I'm just thinking, you know, when Strax goes dead and that, I'm just thinking of that part as well. That was what I'm thinking. I can't remember.
Okay, anybody else?
Is it?
Yeah.
That's just her drink in his
throws
face.
Throws water in his face.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I'd prefer the actual...
Her drink, isn't it?
Good grief.
No, the tea, was
no points. It was champagne. She throws champagne.
Oh, champagne, you're right.
Her drink, I didn't say champagne, but I was pretty specific, I thought.
All right, a point for Reese. Right, after the first sort of double round of questioning, in last place is Reese with 1 point. And in joint first place, Kirby and Robert with 2. And this question goes to Kirby. Who went next door when the doctor said he'd looked after the kids? And the name of the person. Who went next door when the doctor said he'd look after the kids? Person's name.
I gathered that there was a name there, but I didn't make a note of it.
Anybody else?
Nope.
Mr. Maitland. Good grief. Right.
Goodness.
Oh, okay.
This is for Reese.
That's their father, yes.
Reese.
Their family name, yes.
Reese.
Yes.
How did Clara describe River to the Doctor?
Describe River to the Doctor.
How? In what way?
Yeah.
Verbally, how did she describe River to the Doctor?
I can only remember one part of it, but that's because you mentioned it before, the space hair, with space hair.
Yeah.
I'll give you a point.
That's the only part of the description I can remember.
I'll give you 2 points. No, I'll give you 1 point, because there was only half of it. Anyone who you would like, for the other half of it, would like, you can get another point.
No, and I brought it up earlier in the podcast, so...
Go on, then. Go on, then, Kirby. For the other point...
No.
You don't want the other point.
I don't remember the rest of it, just the space hair.
Okay, well, the answer is the woman with the funny name and the space hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember now.
Right. This question's for Robert.
Uh-oh.
What does the Doctor muse he might do in his retirement?
Oh.
Jeez.
Oh.
Have you only watched it once?
I've watched it 3 times.
Oh.
Oh, no wonder why. Knit?
Incorrect. Anybody else?
Yes. Hang on just a second. Beekeeping. Is one of them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yes, I'll give you a point for that.
I noticed the beekeeping.
Or water portraits or something.
Ooh. Yes. There's a point for Reese for getting the other off of it.
Let me make a note about the beekeeping. That reminded me of the Time Lord we ran across in Delta and the Bannerman.
Indeed. Yeah.
That's right. True, yeah.
It was beekeeping.
Okay. Yep. Kirby, this is your question.
Cool.
Are you ready?
Yes.
What starts breaking down when a TARDIS dies? These are the words that the Doctor used. He says something starts breaking down when the TARDIS dies. You have to use the words that the Doctor used.
Jeez.
It's only 2 words.
We know one of them, all of us, I'm sure.
Starts getting bigger, but what is it?
That's what she said.
Can I give it a go?
Go on then, Reese.
Yes, go ahead.
Go on then, Reese.
It's not shell, but it's the dimensional barrier shell or something.
I'll give you
a analyzer. I don't know.
I'll give you a point. It's dimension dams is the actual answer. Right, Reese.
Oh, damn. Yes.
Reese.
Bloody hell.
Bloody dams.
Reese.
Yes.
Strax demands that Trenzalore surrenders its women and what else?
Ah, yes.
Oh, it's women. It's the women, children, and something. I can't remember the rest. Hang on.
No looking it up.
Primitives?
Incorrect. Anybody?
Okay.
No. Was that a no?
I don't remember.
That was a no from Kirby.
No, was it? Okay.
I don't remember either.
Intellectuals.
Yeah.
Oh, was the opposite. Oh, right. Yeah. I thought normally it would be primitives when
you
I heard
the
that,
opposite
but it was...
way.
Yeah.
This question's for Robert.
Uh-oh.
What alternative names for the Doctor does the Great Intelligence mention?
Ah, the Valiard was one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the rest.
I'll give you a point.
I know. There was... No, I can't remember it.
Okay, a point for Valiard. Kirby said the bees, a point there. Anybody for the other one?
Yes. No.
Anybody?
It's supposed to be something like, not Great Murderer, but something like that.
It was the Storm, the Beast, and the Valiard.
The oncoming storm.
And the score so far, halfway through, is in last place Robert with 3 points, and in joint first with is Reese and Robert with. Sorry, I'll start that again. It's Reese.
Oh,
and
Reese
and Reese and Kirby with 4 points each. And this question's for Kirby.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
what does the Doctor exclaim after he shuts a Whisper Man's hand in a door?
I don't know.
Right, anybody?
That's handy.
I do.
Go on.
It's the line that he said to River through time in The Angels Take Manhattan, Yowza.
Correct.
Ah, yes.
Oh, I gave you too many points then.
Mary, at the top of the show.
Right, Reese, it's your question.
Oh, yeah.
What two places does Vastra first say that the Doctor is dying?
Could you say that again?
What? When the Vastra says the Doctor's dying, he says he's dying, and da 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 da. Vastra, yeah, he says, the Doctor's dying, and he says she mentions a few places, and what are the first two places she mentions after the Great Intelligence has gone into the wibbly thing?
He mentions Androzani. That's one of them, I think, if I'm going down the right route.
Yes.
No, I can only remember Androzani.
Anybody else for the other item?
It'd be boring if it was Trenzalore and it was right there in front of me, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking that as well.
Nobody else for the other one? Mm-mm. Dalek Asylum.
Oh, yeah.
And this
now
question,
we remember.
Right, so who's got the next question? I've lost where I am now. Is it Robert? Was that your question, Reese, that last one?
It was, yes.
Right, okay, so it's Robert then. What will tear Clara into a million pleces? Be quiet! What will tear Clara into a million pieces, according to River?
That's jumping in the Doctor's time stream thing.
No, it's actually got a name. She says the name of the so-and-so will tear Clara into a million pieces. That's what she says. So it's the so-and-so part of it.
Picky.
No,
is that
it's
being
not.
Pedantic?
No, it isn't.
Yes.
You being pedantic?
No, I just want the words that the River
used.
You are
being pedantic.
Well, that's not the point.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Three against one, Adam, I'm afraid.
Yes.
I take it none of you are going to come up with the answer.
Give me 1 point at least.
For what? What did you say?
Because I'm saying the right thing. He's talking about jumping into his timeline.
All right, I give you... that's fairly obvious, really, but I wanted the words that... that River used, but you're going to be a sports spot.
Well, tell
you it's the time wins. He said, Clara will turn it according to by the time wins. That's what she says. Well, never mind, you're spoiling my quiz.
There's fighting going on in the episode.
Next question is for Kirby. Are you ready, Kirby?
Yeah.
Do I get a point?
Yeah, I'll give you a point, stupid idiot I am. What does Clara say is wrong with the TARDIS with the first Doctor? When she's with the first Doctor, she says there's something wrong with her. Choose this one; you'll have more fun. She says that there's something wrong with it. What?
I don't know.
I know. I don't know the exact word, but it's got a faulty navigating system.
I'll give you a point for that, even though the word she used was the navigation system is knackered.
Knackered. Okay.
Yes. Next question is for Reese. Well, it was used in Doctor Who, so you can use it. Yeah. Right. Reese?
Yes?
Why didn't the Doctor speak to River?
I don't know. Oh, sorry.
Right, anybody else?
Go on.
Why didn't the Doctor speak to River? This is for Reese.
Because he thought it would hurt too much.
He is correct.
Yes.
John hurt too much.
This one's for Robert.
Uh-oh.
What are the Doctor's last two words to River? You won't get this one.
Doctor's last two words. I won't
apparently
get it.
Well,
I
just remember two words.
All I remember is goodbye, sweetie, from what's her name?
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fairly obvious. But what was the Doctor?
Love you.
Right. Go on. That's wrong.
No,
Reese.
Go on, Reese.
I thought it was more than two, but is it till later?
Nope.
Till next time?
Nope. The answer is, okay, how?
Doctor Song. That's not the last two words.
That's last two words the Doctor says to River before she disappears is, okay, is how? It? And she says, spoilers.
All right, till next time, River Song is what he says.
No, it isn't. Then she says, da-da-da-da-da, and then he says, okay, how?
Okay. How?
Spoilers.
I'll be quiet. Right. There's only a couple of questions left. So these are on a whoever gets in first with the answer. I can tell you the current scores. In last place, Kirby and Robert with four, and in the lead with 9 points is Reese. So it is a chance of catching up.
Thank you.
Because it's double points. Double points for these two questions. Right, for anybody now. Which was the first version of the Doctor that we see after Clara has landed in her surreal sort of world that we don't really have a name for at the end? Because these are in time order, these questions. So what was the first version of the Doctor that we see that in the background, you know, when Clara's landed in that surreal?
First version that we see?
Yes.
And her, obviously.
And her, obviously. Well, it was behind her, so not necessarily.
Ah, yeah, true. I can't remember.
It's not for you personally, it's for everybody. So whoever can come up with the answer gets double points.
Are you talking about at the beginning of the episode?
No, these are in order. All these questions are in order of the actual the episode was running. So this is right at the end when Clara lands. She's stepped into the thing. She's landed on...
I know, you mean in that void area.
Yes. And there's lots of...
I'm going to say six.
Incorrect.
I'm going to say the first one.
Correct, Reese. A point. I'll give you half... double points for that, which is 2 points for that, Reese. Right, and the last question, again, this is a free-for-all. What are John Hurt's first words as the Doctor? This is a complete line. In fact, he said two lines in between what Matt Smith said. So you can
I don't even remember him speaking.
I'll give you points for accuracy on this one. What was his first words as the Doctor? Who's going to come in?
I am not an animal. I'm a human being.
Incorrect. Anybody?
Harry Potter, I've been expecting you.
In a land of myth and a time of
hurry
magic.
Up.
Oh, sorry. I can't remember. I did what I did in the name of peace and something else, I think is the general vibe, but you want accuracy, so I'm not going to get that.
That's
though.
Pretty good. A lot of the words are right there, you know. I'm going to give you 2 points for that. This line was, or lines, because it was two lines. What I did, I did without choice, in the name of peace and sanity. So you're pretty good with that one. So I think 2 points is a fair score
for
you.
Well, he won anyway. So.
The final scores then for this week, you won't get this one, and you didn't, is in last place, Kirby and Robert with 4 points, and winning with 13 Yay. Points. Reese!
Wow.
Tell you what, did you watch this once, Reese?
Yes. It's my lucky number of watching it, isn't it?
You should only watch it once.
Yeah, no, every time this
I can't do
Chris
that.
Has happened
well,
with me on it.
The next time.
Are we
going to continue with these as we watch older episodes?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
But unfortunately, next week we're going back to...
Amy's
Smith.
Choice, is it?
Is Amy's Choice the next one on our list? Because I have lost track completely.
I have no idea.
The last one we reviewed of...
was the Vampires of Venice.
So I think it is
Amy's Choice.
Vampires of Venice.
So, listeners, next week it's Empire Strikes Back. No, it's Amy's Choice. Amy's Choice next week. If you want to write into the show, please do. I hope Andy Nunny hasn't got upset. And I hope Jeff hasn't got upset. Because we can't afford to lose listeners. It's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. What is it? Okay. What? 20mb.
Don't forget to mention whoone.co.uk.
I was just about to do that.
whoone.co.uk.
What is it? God.
One thing at a time. Can we talk about the email address first? 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Join our group, the 20MB.2 podcast Facebook group. Yes, now we can talk about whoone.co.uk.
You're talking about whoone.co.uk.
Good grief. Is that how they do adverts in America? They just keep mentioning the name.
It works.
Yes, it does.
Advertising?
Anyway,
look at Doctor Who News.
We haven't got time. It's blooming two. Let's get 3 hours recording. What, 2.5?
I'm normally at work at this time, and it's an hour away.
Sorry, I think the news this week is just the episode we've been watching. That's a brilliant picture of Matt Smith and David Tennant in costume on the BBC Doctor Who website. Anyway. Enough. Thank you for listening to the show this week. Oh, good grief. So much editing. Goodbye.
Have fun bloody editing this.
Oh, bloody hell.
Thank you. Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.